Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for attending our special Transportation, Finance, and Policy Division field hearing here in St. Cloud. I really appreciate all of you being here. My name is Frank Hornstein. I'm the chair of our committee today. And just wanted to lay out a little bit about our agenda and what we're going to be doing in the approximately 3 hours we have together. First of all, we are going to have members of our committee introduce themselves and our hardworking staff that's made this day possible. And then we're going to hear some comments, brief welcoming comments from some local officials here that you know well. And we have three bills that we'll also be hearing. We are not going to be taking action on those bills. We'll be laying them over for inclusion in future legislation, but we are going to have a formal hearing on those bills. We have one from Representative Wolgamott and one from two from Representative O'Driscoll. And then following the bill hearings, we're going to hear from all of you. And we have many of you signed up, which is very much appreciated. That's why we come out to these hearings and get away from St. Paul, to make it easier for all of you to communicate with us. And the only ground rule on that is we'd like everybody to keep it to about 2.5, 2 minutes. Not that we want to cut folks short, but we want to make sure that the over 40 people that have signed up do have a chance to testify before us. So really, it's to give everybody an opportunity to testify. That's why we have the time limit. And we'll have Mr. Howe, our very able community administrator, will give people a warning of 30 seconds so that you can wrap up your comments if need be. So with that, I'd like to start with introductions so you all know who we are. We're going to have, okay, and members, thank you, Mr. Howe. It's a little like the Senate here. We're not used to this, where you have to press the button first to get your microphone on. And so we're going to start here from moving left to right with Representative Nelson, and we also will introduce a couple of other area legislators that have joined us today. So again, with that, thank you so much. Welcome. We really appreciate your being here, and we've had already a great time. We had a tour this morning of the new Flyer facility, and we appreciate the warm welcome that our committee has received here in St. Cloud. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm Representative Michael Nelson. I represent the southern half of Brooklyn Park, House District 40A.
My name is Representative Aaron Cagle. I represent District 37A, which is Blaine, Coon Rapids, and Spring Lake Park.
Good afternoon. I'm Connie Bernardi, and I represent the communities of Fridley, Spring Lake Park, and New Brighton, which is 41A.
Good afternoon. I'm Sandra Mason. I represent District 51A, which is most of Western Eagan and all of Northern Burnsville.
Thank you for having us. And I'm John Petersburg. I represent Owatonna-Wauseka, which is 24A.
Good afternoon. I'm Representative Dan Wolgamott, and I'm proud to represent the nitty-gritty Granite City of St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yeah, we're in a gym here. I feel he's got the home field advantage. I don't know. Thanks again. I'm State Representative Frank Hornstein. I chair the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Division, and I represent a district in Minneapolis.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is John Howe. I'm the committee administrator, and I'll be here to help coordinate testimony from all of you today. So I'll be looking for all of you, and I'll do my best to help make sure everybody gets up as quickly and efficiently as they can.
And I thank you. And I also want to just give a special thank you for Mr. Howe, who's worked very, very hard. There's a lot of logistics involved in getting us up here, the tour we had, and getting all of you signed up to testify. So thank you very much, Mr. Howe.
Paul Torkelson, District 16B, representing Brown, most of Redwood, and some of Renville County, and Republican lead on the committee.
Representative Tim O'Driscoll, and I represent the areas of Sartell, Sauk, Rapids, St. Stephen, Holdingford, and several townships in between. And like Representative Wolgamott, this is a quasi-home game for me because our districts are right next to each other. So thank you so much.
So
So I'm Steve Elkins. My district is most of western Bloomington and small parts of Edina, Eden Prairie, and Minnetonka.
Representative John Heinrich, I represent the cities of Anoka and Ramsey, District 35A, and proud freshman along with Representative Wolgamont. It's been a pleasure, Representative, working with you, and I'm glad to be in your city here today.
Good afternoon. I'm Representative Linda Runbeck. I represent five cities in southeastern Anoka County and Hugo in Washington County.
And we have several area legislators that have joined us in the audience, and if you all could stand up and identify yourselves, introduce yourselves as well. Well, maybe we can start with Representative Tice.
I'm going to be a little bit lazy and just go over here. Tama Tice, and I represent 14A, which is the west and south part of St. Cloud, St. Augusta, and Wade Park, and really pleased that you all got to see New Flyer this morning, which is in my district. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Ralph.
Which includes St. Cloud, Waite Park, St. Augusta, Haven, and Minden Townships. I'm glad to be here. I'm carrying a co-author on a bill for the North Star study in the Senate. Thank you.
Representative Damuth, too. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Damuth. I represent 13A, just west of here, Cold Spring, Rockville, Richmond, Painesville, Kimball, Avon, St. Joe, a little bit of Watkins and Eden Valley, and a number of townships. Thanks for being here, and welcome to the area.
Thank you. And also want to introduce some of our, again, incredible staff that work very, very hard every day for all of you in St. Paul. And partisan and nonpartisan staff sitting to our left here. Maybe we can start with Mr. Marble. Thank you, everybody. So we'll start off our hearing today with several bills that from your representatives who are on the committee. We'll start with House File 1179, and that's Representative Wolgamont's bill, and then we have a couple of bills, 781 and 780, from Representative O'Driscoll. So what's that? Oh, yes, we have some business. We are going to approve the minutes from our last meeting, and that's typically Representative Petersburg's job. So, Representative Petersburg, approval of the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do approve the minutes of the February 19th Transportation Committee.
All in favor of approving the minutes for our last meeting, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries. Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. And now we will have our bills on the agenda. We'll take about 10 minutes for each of these bills, and then we'll start with the public testimony. So, Representative Wolgamont. And I will move House File 1179 to be laid over for inclusion in a possible later finance bill to be considered by this committee.
Excellent. Chair Hornstein, members of the committee, again, I'm Representative Dan Wolgamont, proud representative of District 14B, where we are today. And I want to thank you for bringing this committee hearing to St. Cloud. It was pretty convenient for us because, as you may know, unfortunately, we don't have any commuter rail to be able to get from here down to the city. So we're hoping to change that soon, but you made it very convenient for us today. So thank you. I'm here today to present House File 1179, which would start the process of extending the North Star commuter rail line to St. Cloud. I know that there have been past attempts, But for the most part, this is a project that's been stalled for the last decade. My hope is that today, once you're able to hear from me and my testifiers and the community, that you'll see the need to take those first steps in completing this project. I'm proud of the coalition of support for this project, from local elected officials, labor leaders, business leaders, faith leaders, and members of our community here today. I also want to give a special recognition to my colleague, Representative Tama Tice. Representative Tice is a co-author of the bill I'm presenting today, and I want to commend her for her leadership and her willingness to work across party lines to help finish North Star. Thank you, Representative Tice. About the bill. The bill would provide $850,000 from the general fund for assessment and analysis activities, getting us the information that we need to get the project started. And also, $6.5 million would be appropriated from the sale of general obligation bonds that would provide for the initial technical activities necessary to develop the project and get it going. The bill also directs the Minnesota Department of Transportation to commence negotiations with BNSF Railway once the project is underway. And to ensure accountability, as the project progresses, MnDOT would provide annual legislative reports in 2020 and 2021 so that we can get the information we need to take further action to ensure the project's completion. I want to be clear. The bill doesn't get North Star here tomorrow or even next year. This is a huge project, a big undertaking, and it's important that we do it and that we do it right. It's the first step for the project, but it's a giant leap for getting commuter rail here in central Minnesota. Central Minnesotans deserve world-class transportation options to get to work, visit family, and travel safely throughout our state, and that includes North Star. And with that, I would like to invite my testifiers up, Mayor Dave Kleiss, Chamber President Teresa Bonin, and Reverend James Alberts.
I was remiss. I'm going to have you and Commissioner Clark welcome folks before the testimony starts more formally from the city. So I'm sorry I didn't introduce you earlier, but you're here for the bill, and we really appreciate that. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for the record, Dave Kleiss, Mayor of St. Cloud. Thank you for, I can, if you reserve the trite, I can welcome you right now while I'm here. Save time and get more opportunity for folks out here. But welcome to the city of St. Cloud, to our city hall. And you're right with your earlier observation. This was a gym. This was Central Junior High. So this was a school at one time and a good reuse of a school. And it's been city hall for a number of years. So welcome to our community. We're very proud to host the House Transportation Committee. It's something that I feel very strongly about, having that representation. I remember, I don't remember. I was really too young to remember, but in the 80s, I think the legislature back in those days actually came out and did the whole legislature came out, in fact, in those days. But committees have been here in the past, and we appreciate that. It's difficult for with the schedule that folks have, especially in greater Minnesota, to be there. So thank you to your committee and being here today for this. We, as a welcome, I serve on a number of hats. I serve with an organization called the Area Planning Organization, and I know you have written material from our executive director with the priorities, and also I serve as the chair of the Metro Transit here also. So from a transportation aspect, we're our priority in this area, and one of our major focus has been transportation. Our priorities for the city, the APO, have always been adding additional lanes on 94. As you know, when you came down here, having our goal is to have six lanes, three in both directions, all the way from the Twin Cities to St. Cloud. Thanks to the bonding bill in the past with the opportunity zones, that's been helpful. It's moving in that direction, and there will be some major MnDOT construction this year, but always a priority for us, as is North Star, as is our airport, and I would be remiss to not say, since I know this is the Transportation Committee, but local government aid also helps in that respect for our transportation. We're a city of 68,000 people, but our daytime population swells above 168,000 people. So transportation and that infrastructure is an important piece. And now, after the welcome, I want to support Representative Olgermont's bill on the North Star. And this is something that I feel very strongly about, and it's part of that multimodal aspect of transportation. And this is something that, as a former member of the Minnesota Senate years ago, in fact, I participated in the original studies in 1997, and then was a chief author of the North Star bill. Originally, that bill to go from the Twin Cities to Rice, and if it would have been done back then, it would have been done for a lot less money, and we wouldn't be having this bill here today, and we would have had, I think, a good track record of that coming to St. Cloud in this area. I was a chief author in 2002 of the bill, and a co-author with Senator Betzel, the bill that actually passed, that actually became that first leg, and I know back during the discussion at that time, it was the federal legislation that changed and didn't get it to St. Cloud. But I'm hopeful and strong supportive. It's been one of the things we survey our residents on a regular basis. In fact, we just sent one out last week, and in the last two surveys, the top four issues: number three, North Star Corridor. And the last time we did number four, we're just in the process of reading through the surveys we just sent out. Once I get through all of the snow plowing complaints, then we'll get to the the other aspects of transportation. But it is something that the community has been strongly supportive of, and it fits into that transportation piece as a state, looking at having another option: roads, highways, commuter rail. And, of course, our priorities, air service and our airport. So thank you for being here, and thanks for the opportunity. And hopefully this will actually get North Star to St. Cloud. It's something that we've been wanting for a long time.
Thank you. And just before you step down, I wanted to also acknowledge that Representative Driscoll has legislation to bring the North Star up to Camp Ripley. So you reminded us that, you know, some of the original proposals did have this going for a bit further to the north. And so I really appreciate the fact that we have such strong bipartisan support for this line up here, as Representative Olgermont mentioned. So thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Does anyone have any questions for the mayor from the committee regarding his testimony? Yes, Representative Heinrich.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Mayor. Just had a question about what were the top two issues? You said North Star was the third issue for St. Cloud?
Oh, our transportation, you know, roads and highways, our top road project for St. Cloud, and which has been always on our APOs, is 94. And North Star has been the APO, our area planning organization, which is our regional planning effort for the area. North Star has been part of that. And then our airport, the St. Cloud Regional Airport, and that's been a collaborative effort, not only, and all of these have been priorities, and you'll hear from Teresa Bone in the business community. We just did an airport study, which again, thank the legislature for some dollars to study our airport, and thanks the leadership of the business community, the GSDC and the chamber and other folks that have been supportive of that. So air, highways and roads, and North Star. So it's a multimodal approach, and transit, I should say, since my Metro bus director is here too, Ryan Daniels, so in transit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mayor.
And Mayor, thank you just again personally. You've been such a champion not only of this region but of transportation, the multimodal approach, and it's very much appreciated. So thank you so much. I think we have a couple more testifiers.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to introduce the president of the St. Cloud Area Chamber of Commerce, Teresa Bonin.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. Chair Hornstein and members of the committee, welcome to St. Cloud. I ordered the weather personally for you. My name is Teresa Bonin. I'm president of the St. Cloud Area Chamber of Commerce. We're a business association of about 1,000 businesses of all sizes. About 80% of our members have 20 or fewer employees. So we do represent small business. We actually, our board has supported North Star since the beginning, since what Mayor Kleiss expressed in the 80s. The St. Cloud Area Chamber of Commerce is on record with that support and on record for the expansion of North Star. We would welcome the next phase and encourage you to finish what's been started before we move on to other commuter rail projects across the state, as I know lots of other areas would like to have the opportunity to move people through commuter rail as well. I think it's important that we start what we finish and that we move ahead with the project as quickly as we can with the studies that we need. Our employers also show a lot of support for this. One area that I would hope the study would undertake is on schedules. We would like the opportunity to bring people into St. Cloud and our area to work, as we're experiencing the same workforce issues as all across the state and the nation. So we want a commute in as well as a commute out, so we aren't just sending our workforce into the Twin Cities. That is very important, and the other thing that is stressed is dedication of resources, and again, watching that subsidy that's required for running the rail. Our students have expressed a desire for the rail. I know that my daughter and many of her friends that went to the U of M, even though we have an excellent SCSU and tech college here in our area, as well as many private colleges, they want the opportunity to be able to take the train into those schools as well. We also are seeking lane expansion on I-94, and I think that the North Star complements this a great deal. We know from studies that 94 corridor between Fargo and the Twin Cities is one of the busiest corridors in the entire nation. So by putting people on the train to move them back and forth, we loosen that congestion that we're experiencing from leisure drivers, hopefully, and also complementing ridership in both areas. So in closing, I would just say we are really anxious to move ahead with the study, and your consideration of Representative Wolgamott's bill would be really appreciated. Thank you for coming to St. Cloud.
And thank you so much, Ms. Bonin. And again, like Mayor Kleiss, you've been a stalwart. You've been down in St. Paul many, many times advocating for this region and transportation, and very much appreciate it. It's good to see you up here now. So we've one final testifier. Did you want to introduce him?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would like to introduce Reverend James Alberts, a faith community leader and longtime advocate for this project.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Alberts. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Pastor James Alberts of Higher Ground Church of God in Christ here in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I want to thank the committee for coming to St. Cloud, and thank you, Representative Hornstein, Chairman, for giving us an opportunity to be able to express our support for something that we've been working extremely hard for over the years. 110,000 cars a day is what you see going between St. Cloud and the Twin Cities. 800,000 or nearly 800,000 riders on the North Star Link between Big Lake and the Twin Cities. That's up a few percentage points from last year, and it's up over its suggested amount, and we still haven't gotten the North Star to come to St. Cloud. Those numbers will only go north of where they are right now if we're able to contribute to this. I am a pastor. I am a software engineer. But of all of the things that I am, I'm a resident of this area. And what I can tell you is that in this area, of the things that are easy to do, you know, my father would tell me that it's important for us to do the easy things because the hard things aren't going anywhere. And so what better way for us to be able to accomplish a thing than to complete what we said we were going to do in the beginning. I'm here as a faith expert, and I would love to not have to be before you again, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I would like to get to the place where we can see the train so you don't need a faith expert for this thing to happen. I've been working on this situation with the train for over a decade, and I have gone down to the Twin Cities. I have ridden a bus to get on a train, to get on another train in order to get before you, in order to talk to you about this. I have talked to the commissioners of transportation. I have talked to the state level. I have talked to the local level. I have talked to people here in this area of the surrounding counties. And of all of the people that I talked to, there is very few people that I have talked to who have any doubt at all in their mind that this is going to happen. It has only been a question of when. And in all of the annals of history that we read, of all of the information that you have put together as a committee, you can pull down the information, you go on the internet, you can see the really almost 30 years that we have been working on this commuter rail, trying to come up to this area, and you can see where we've gone up and where we've gone down, where there have been legislation and bills put in place, where we are not going to spend any money to do this, only for that to be pulled back and put back into place so that we can spend on it. We've heard different numbers being thrown about. And in the last case, when I was down in the Twin Cities and I was having a conversation, there was this concern about a rail line that only had a single lane of track that rested between Big Lake and Becker. And I was told at that point in time, Pastor Albert is going to take an act of God in order for that rail to be put down. And I looked at the chief of staff at that time, and I told him, I said, well, you let me worry about the act of God. If I handle that, will you handle the rest? The day after I met with him, it was reported by Burlington that they were going to invest $350 million in the state of Minnesota. And one of the investments that they were going to put in place was to make that connection 11 miles between Becker and Big Lake. And that's been done. And so now we have two lanes of track that go from St. Cloud all the way down to the Twin Cities. And all of those impediments that we have gone over time and time again have been removed. And so now we rest at a very important time. Courage. We need the courage to be able to finish what we say we're going to do. Not just for one person or for 10 people, but for over 100,000 people, and for the future of what this area can be. I believe that if we look at the statistics and we look at the information, there are many benefits that we can see through Anoka. I think we have a representative there. We can see through all the places where the train has stopped, the benefits that have happened at each one of the places where that train has stopped. And we can look and see where we are connecting people to lives, to jobs, to success, to opportunities. We have five educational institutions here. We have people who need jobs, want jobs. But what good is a job if you can't get there? What good is an opportunity to be able to live above the poverty rate if you can't get to the job that will pay you the wage that you are very likely to earn if you can get there? So I'm asking for the committee to support this bill. I am in support of it myself, and I represent a whole lot of folk that also support it. So I want to thank you again for your time, Representative, and thank you for the committee for coming up here. We're here to make sure that faith gets completed, and we're here to make sure that North Star comes to St. Cloud. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Albert. I was remiss in asking the committee if they had any questions for Ms. Bonin. So if you have anyone has questions for either Ms. Bonin or Pastor Alberts, now would be the opportunity to ask them. Okay, thank you. Do you have any closing comments, Representative Wolgamott?
And I wanted to make sure I thank this young man right here for the work that he's doing. Representative Wolgamott is really pushing this hard. So thank you for your grace.
thank you, Pastor. The last word, Representative? Absolutely. Yeah. Questions for the author?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this important issue forward. A couple of quick questions. One, we know that the current North Star line is very heavily subsidized.
What?
There's another member that had a question.
Okay.
Well,
All right.
Representative Torkelson can continue his question if he wants.
Yeah. How do you anticipate that picture looking should this line go forward?
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, taking a look at those numbers and making sure that we're doing this project in the most cost-effective and efficient manner is a part of what that $850,000 general fund appropriation would go to. The time for kicking the can down the tracks is over. The time for investment is now, and we'll be getting information from that to make sure that we're doing this in the most cost-effective and efficient manner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative, you believe that you'll be able to drive that subsidy down?
I believe that we'll take a look at the information that's given to us. That's why we have that $850,000 appropriation, so that we can take that information and put it to good use and come together as legislators from both sides in committee and with input from the public and make sure that we're able to do it in the most cost-effective manner.
Mr. Chair, another challenge with any commuter rail line or any rail line, passenger rail line, is trying to determine if it's really going to be an effective commuter line or if it's going to have a lot of stops. We know that folks along the line like to have a stop in their community, but the more stops you add, the slower the train is.
Right.
How do you intend to address that particular issue, Representative Wolgamott?
Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, Representative Torkelson, that's we need that updated information. There really hasn't been much work done to get information for about the past 10 years. And so we're going to take a look at stops and train numbers and ridership numbers. And again, we're not putting the cart ahead of the horse here. We're doing the work to make sure we have the information so that we can have those details. This isn't the end-all be-all of finishing North Star and finishing the project. This is the initial steps that we have to take to get the project going. And part of that is getting the information so that we have not numbers from years past, but the most up-to-date numbers so that we can accurately answer your questions.
Just one final question,
yes,
Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Finally, it appears from what I've read about your bill that you intend to go ahead with this work before negotiating with the Class 1 Railroad, in this case Burlington Northern. This project cannot be successful without Burlington Northern's cooperation and negotiations being completed with the Class 1 Railroad. Why are you leaving that till after you've spent a significant amount of money?
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, again, that's what that general fund appropriation is, so that we can get the information that we need so that we can go into the, so that MnDOT can go into negotiations with BNSF. And again, we don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here. We need to have that information so that we can, in good faith and with good knowledge, commence those negotiations.
Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank Representative Wolgamott for bringing this forward. I was in the beginning an author of the first North Star bill and wanted to get it to St. Cloud. I live on the line in Fridley, and we want to come visit St. Cloud, and we hope our St. Cloud folks want to come visit us too. But I just really appreciate the bipartisan support you've gotten behind this. I haven't seen that before, and a real solution to move this forward. And for me, I appreciate that because the proposals previous to you were taking money from our stops and limiting service. And we want this to be robust, and we want it to be strong. And I thank you for your leadership in coming up with solutions and bringing bipartisan support to make that happen. So I'm proud to be a co-author on this bill. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Bernardi. I'm very proud that this legislation does have that bipartisan approach. And we don't want to be pitting communities against each other. We want, as Minnesotans, to have a strong, robust transportation system, and that's one of the goals that this bill hopes to achieve.
Thank you, Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to just make a comment about a bill that's not here today, and that is the bill that I chief authored to look at a feasibility study. In the way of full disclosure, I'm not 100% sure at this point in my life if I support the idea of bringing North Star from Big Lake to St. Cloud. What I've been accused of in my lifetime has probably been a person who thinks out several intersections and processes down the road. And the reason that I wanted to take a more global look at this is, number one, between Big Lake and Camp Ripley, there are 9 communities. Five to six of those communities have all expressed an interest and a desire to have a rail stop in their community. That's just not practical and feasible to be able to make this a successful mode of transportation. As Representative Ogemot pointed out, there's a lot of information that we should look to gather to learn about this. And my fear is that if we bring the train from Big Lake to St. Cloud without having looked at the additional consequences up the line or down the line, however you want to look at it, that we're going to be missing some opportunities to be able to find out the feasibility of this. Right now we have the North Star Link that takes people from St. Cloud to Big Lake. I don't know, Representative Ogemot, if your bill contemplates future use of that to try to be able to provide ridership and going to these other communities. I would have just hoped that we'd have had a more robust conversation so we can make an informed decision, because I fear that once that we get to St. Cloud, this doesn't go away as an issue, and then legislators and local elected officials are going to have to try to pick who the winners and losers would be along those 6 communities that have expressed an interest, St. Cloud being one of them, down to 4 or 5. And so I want to be on the record with that, because I and the co-authors who are up and down that line from Camp Ripley to Big Lake are of the same ilk that I am on this. They want to know more information. No one has said they were for or against it at this point. And again, I have always been somewhat skeptical without having additional information. So I wanted to, before we got too far down the line, go with that information. The chair and I have had some conversations about why that's not going to happen this year. But I'm fine with that. But I wanted to at least have a bigger conversation for folks on that and to be able to publicly express my thoughts and views as to why we do that. I'm a data-driven decision maker and have been all of my life on it. And I feel that we're going to be short some data to make a more comprehensive decision. So I just wanted to share that and give people an understanding of where I'm coming from on the issue today. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Oak.
Thank you very much, Representative O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Wolgamont.
Representative O'Driscoll, I want to commend you for your willingness to take a look at the North Star Project and your efforts to bring it to central Minnesota. I think that's spectacular, and I'm really proud of the bipartisan group of folks that we have who are willing to take a look at North Star. I did take a look at what that would mean to study other spots. I'd love for North Star to go to Sartell. I'd love for it to go up to Fort Ripley. I'd love for it to go to Fargo. I'd love for it to go to Winnipeg. I mean, I would love for that. But, in my conversations with rail experts, with MnDOT, adding money for further study and further looking at things, this bill has very strong investment in getting data. It has a significant appropriation from the general fund so that we get data, that we get information, that we know full well what we're getting into before we commence our negotiations and before we have further state investment. And again, what I know is that the time for kicking the can down the tracks is over, and the time for investment and making real capital investments and improvements to getting this project started is now. So I'm committed to doing what I can to make sure that the North Star Commuter Rail gets to our community, that it gets to central Minnesota here in St. Cloud in as effective and an efficient manner as possible. And from there, once we get that going, once we get those ridership numbers where they need to be, I think that's going to benefit all of our areas. And you're right, we have to look at the link bus. We can look at further stops up and down there. That's why we have a significant portion of general fund money going to getting that data.
Representative O'Driscoll, and then we'll get to Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Ogemot, I, again, as I said, I'm not for or against it at this point. I'm leaning against it because I just think we need to have that data to show people in central Minnesota what the cost is going to be, what local investment might be. It's really easy for communities to come in and say, I'd like to have a stop. And I think that St. Cloud and the area is going to be experiencing an awful lot of, I didn't know about that or didn't think about that. And going chief back to the question that Representative Torkelson talked about, we don't even have a negotiation in place to be able to use the Class 1 line at this point. I'm hoping that the study will yield us more information to help my concerns so that I can make an informed decision. But Again, I would like to see it more of a global approach, because all we're going to do is have that next rung of communities asking for, and I don't know if that taking precious taxpayer dollars and doing another study at some point in the future when we can accomplish it now would be, so people know the cost, we can start having those conversations, which may be from anywhere from no, it's not feasible, to partially feasible, to fully feasible. We don't have that information. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say quickly, Representative O'Driscoll, I welcome further comment. We won't take up any more time here today, but I'm really excited for the chance to work with you and with our other area legislators to achieving our ultimate goal. We all want North Star up here, and want to take efforts to look at that, and I'm really excited to get to work with you and our other legislators in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We're going to have one more question or comment on this bill from Representative Elkins, and we'll get to Representative O'Driscoll's bills. We'll have some opening comments from Commissioner Clark, and then we'll hear from all of you. Yes. Oh, okay. Let's have Representative Elkins, then Representative Runbeck, and then we do really have to move on. Yeah. Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Torkelson raised a point that has long been a sore spot with me. You would think that when you're trying to evaluate a project like the first thing you would do is sit down with the Class 1 railroad, BNSF in this case, and negotiate with them about what's it going to take to for them to grant us the use of the their right of way to do this project. But federal regulations prohibit us from actually negotiating with a railroad until all of the environmental work has been completed, at which point the railroad is in the driver's seat in terms of dictating what the pound of flesh they're going to exact in order to actually execute the project. So this might be something we want to ask our congressmen to help us with, because it really does kind of it is kind of a bass backwards. You would think that you would want to negotiate with the railroad first, and under federal regulations right now it has to be last.
Thank you, Representative Runbeck, for our last committee question or comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wolgamott, you've got assessment and analysis are two of the things we're paying for with the initial grant that you're proposing. I guess what I'm curious about, what those words mean, and will this involve a full-blown marketing study to know, really anticipate correctly what the ridership will be and what the, what the use will be? I can point to you, I have it in my folder, a flyer from 15 years ago that said there'd be 10,000 riders a day on North Star. So, it was way off. It was a lot of hopes and wishes and dreams, but it isn't anywhere near close to being actual. So will there be a full-blown marketing study that's coming out of this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, to give you fully accurate details on what exactly that money is going to go towards, I'd like to ask our representative from MnDOT to come here and give more insight on that process.
Mr. Radin, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric Radin with MnDOT Government Affairs. And the short answer to the question is yes. The study would look at ridership numbers. We have some ridership numbers from several years ago that need to be updated. And one of the things that we would look at is the current ridership on North Star. The current bus that goes from St. Cloud to Big Lake, and development patterns and things that have changed in the last several years. But if you have more questions about the other activities that would be done with this funding, I can answer those. But to answer your question, yes, there's a very extensive analysis that would occur on ridership projections.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you very much. I don't know if you have any final. You've kind of made some summary comments already, and so just leave you with one.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to thank you, and I'd like to thank the committee members here for coming to St. Cloud to hear directly from our leaders and from our community members how important this project is. At a bill hearing, it's important to get in the details and to crunch the numbers and all that. That's very important. We owe that to the taxpayers. But it's also important to hear directly from the people of this community how this project is going to impact their life and how further delay is really going to have a negative consequence for them. So I want to thank everyone who has shown up today to make their voice heard, to share their story about how this project is going to make your life better. And members, I want to ask you, and I want to ask our friends in the Senate and our friends in the governor's office to listen to these stories that we're going to hear today. And I urge you to take what you've learned and pass this bill, House File 1179. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. And before Representative Driscoll comes up for, thank you. We'll, with that, we're going to lay over. We're going to lay over this bill for further consideration later in the session. Before Representative O'Driscoll comes up to present his couple of bills, I do want to welcome an additional member that has joined us. Representative West, do you want to introduce yourself, who you are, where you represent? Thank you. Well, we're glad you're here. Representative O'Driscoll, House File 780-781. Excuse me. Yeah,
Mr. Chair, since this is an informational hearing at this point, did you want me to just talk globally about what the two bills do instead of necessarily talking about them individually?
Sure. And Representative Driscoll, I will you want to do 780 first? Or,
sure.
Okay.
That'd be great.
So I'll move House File 780, and that will be laid over for further consideration in a transportation finance bill. Yes, you want to talk generally either about one or both together. I just want to say some introductory comments. These two bills that Representative O'Driscoll is presenting are very, very important to us. Oftentimes when we consider transportation finance questions, we look at big projects, big cities, larger communities, and some of them are, looking at 94 and these very, very important projects. But sometimes the smaller communities aren't part of these major formulas that we use to distribute our money that's dedicated for roads and bridges in the state. And so what Representative O'Driscoll's bills are doing are looking at how do we support smaller communities and so that they're not left behind in our consideration of transportation finance questions. And so these bills are very important, and they really start a conversation that sometimes we don't have. And, we want to really take a serious look at these ideas and other ideas that will come forward. Those small cities, again, so critical but often left behind in our considerations. And so I really appreciate these two bills and your bringing them forward.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. And I want to thank everybody for being here. There's no question about it. Transportation is everybody's issue because we can't get from here to there without some mode of transportation, whether it's walking, biking, or whether it's taking a bus or a car or a truck or a train, of getting some from one place to another. And today, Mr. Chair, I want to thank you publicly as well. You did come to me when we were going to be having these hearings and said, Representative O'Driscoll, we're going to be in the St. Cloud area, and I would like to give you an opportunity to have a couple of bills heard. And a little bit about my background for the members of the committee and those who are gathered here. When I was the mayor of Sartell and when I was on the Sartell City Council, I was involved in our St. Cloud Area Planning Organization, and that deals quite extensively with roads, bridges, and prioritizing projects to be able to use state and federal money and putting a plan together. What these two bills do today, the first one, House File 780, is it makes another $100 million available to communities across the state of Minnesota for sorely needed investment in public transportation in the way, or I should say, in roads and bridges. Our infrastructure is continuing to show its age, not only at the state level with the interstates, but within communities. And one community's I-94 bloodline is another community's mainstream and Main Street to be able to help them to be able to be successful. And so House File 780 makes available to local units of government monies to be able to help get projects done where they may not have the full money for a local match for other programs. Because a community may be not as wealthy A community may not have as many resources, but they still have a need. This is what this bill will do, is make another $100 million available on that. House File 781 is targeted toward smaller communities across the state of Minnesota for an additional $20 million. And it'll allow communities with populations of less than 5,000 to be able to receive additional money for their needs as well. I'm also pleased to announce that I have not forgot about the townships, because earlier this week I signed on to a bill to help townships get money for their transportation needs as well in the way of road and bridge infrastructure. I'm in my fifth term on the Minnesota House of Representatives. This is my first term on the Transportation Committee, and I made a conscious decision this time that I wanted to be on the Transportation Committee, kind of getting back to some of the roots that I've had, as I mentioned earlier, here in central Minnesota. I suspect the majority of the testimony today will not be on something that's already in place and the need that we're already looking at for roads and bridges. It'll be more guided toward Representative Olgamont's bill. And again, sometimes I'm accused for being very direct, and so if I sounded curt and direct today, there was no malice behind that. I'm a very direct person, and anyone who's worked with me, and many of them have in this room, know that I'm a very, very data-driven and results-oriented person, and I'm not afraid to stand up for those activities. And so again, Mr. Chair, although I say again, most of the testimony today is probably not going to be on the roads and bridges that I'm bringing forward, but it is an important and crucial part. As the mayor said, even in his opening comments, that number three was the light rail, and of course, one and two tend to always be the needs for improving infrastructure. And I think, unfortunately, we're going to be reminded come April of this year just how tough our roads are after the winter we've been through, and the number of potholes that will be popping up as a result of this rather tough winter, and we're not even all the way through it yet. So if anybody is interested, I did talk to Mayor Kleiss earlier today, and I suggested, he had told me that he had just gotten back from Sri Lanka. I asked him if he was there to maybe help us some international trade and be able to sell some of our central Minnesota snow to those good folks. And he declined to comment whether he had those conversations or not. So maybe they still are ongoing. Thank you again, Mr. Mayor, for allowing us to be here in central Minnesota to be able to use the St. Cloud facilities as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative O'Driscoll, I just wanted to thank you for your leadership with these bills. Obviously, North Star is important, as we agree, but we can't forget that we need to have excellent, safe roads and bridges. And so I just wanted to publicly thank you for your efforts on this, and I look forward to supporting your efforts and working with you to make sure that everybody in our region has good, safe, reliable transportation options to get to work and visit family and travel throughout our state. So thank you very much for your leadership on this, Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott.
And I also, it's an important reminder, Representative O'Driscoll, about the condition of our roads and bridges and what we may face in spring. We had heard testimony earlier this session from the American Society of Civil Engineers, and they rated Minnesota's road and bridge infrastructure as a D+. And that's hardly a grade we can be proud of. And so that's why we do have to make new investments in our roads and bridges, as well as public transportation. And I think your bills, House File 780 and House File 781, go a long way again in helping some of the smaller communities, the townships, and improving their infrastructure. This is a D+ statewide, and so your efforts are appreciated. So that was House File 780. Did you want to say anything? I will, if you're finished, I'll lay over that again for further consideration. House File 781, did you want to mention anything about
Mr. Chair, I did kind of blend the comments about the two different bills, the $100 million, the $120. And I also mentioned, although not before the committee today, that there is a township bill that I'm advocating for as well, for their needs to try to hit all of our local county, city, and township needs. And so, Mr. Chair, if there aren't any other committee questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other questions of the committee for Representative O'Driscoll? Yes, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's not so much a question for him as to just kind of comment about additional statistics. So in the state of Minnesota, we have approximately 140,000 miles of road between township, city, county, and state-owned ones. To give that a perspective, that would go around the equator about five times. So it's a lot of roads, and of those, about 40% of them are run by townships, in which really gets virtually no state dollars to maintain the roads and bridges. It all comes from local property taxes. And so these two bills, especially 780, is one that really helps with a grant program that they can actually access for some of those funds. And we need to keep reminding us that townships, maybe the last few miles and the first few miles that they, before they get onto the main thoroughfares, they still are critical. And with farming and other agricultural needs, they also get wear and tear. And so I think this is something in which we really need to continue to remind ourselves that it's not just the main roads that we need to keep up. We need to help with some of the others into the future. And so it's just a comment for me, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Very well said. Very well said, Representative Petersburg. So are there any other? Yes, Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the with respect to 780, the local cost share for trunk highway projects, point out that this is an issue that affects cities throughout the state, not just greater Minnesota. The city of Richfield, which I represented on the Metropolitan Council, got into a position where they were literally spending all of their share of municipal state aid, and cities of over 5,000 get about 9% of the state gas tax, but they discovered that they were spending all of their municipal state aid money just on their matches for MnDOT and Hennepin County projects and had nothing left to spend on their own local streets network. So this is a pervasive problem throughout the state. And then on 781, the Small Cities Assistance Program, I've always been curious about the exception for cities under 5,000. And nobody's ever been able to explain to me the basis for the excluding the very small cities from this program. So if anybody knows the historical reason, I'd love to hear it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Elkins, I can give you my understanding of this because I was on the Sartell City Council when we crossed the threshold from the cities under 5,000 to the cities of 5,000. And now Sartell is almost close to 20,000 people, and that's in about less than a 20-year period of time, just to put that into perspective. The reason that 5,000 is kind of the magic number is that's where cities over 5,000 become eligible for what's called CASA money, county, state aid, highway money. Mm-hmm. And what happened if you were a community under the size of 5,000 would go to the county, and the county would reallocate those dollars back. Mm-hmm. Cities can take direct control of those monies and make their own decisions on road projects and matching grants with that money, with local money on that, if they are over 5,000. So that's been kind of the state statute's magic point from being a small city to being a bigger city versus a city of the first class, where they have different authorities and things as well granted to them under state statutes.
Thank you for that explanation. So
thank you very much, Representative Driscoll. That's an excellent explanation. Do we have any other questions? Representative Bernardi.
I have a very brief question, and it piggybacks off of Representative Elkins' question. I just wanted to be clear that House File 780, because I know this is a problem across the state, it would include the entire state, not just the, thank you very much, I appreciate that.
Yeah, shaking your head doesn't get on the public record, so I will directly answer Representative Bernardi's comment. Yes, this is not it's localized to central Minnesota. Unless you're all willing to do that, I think I would have the support of people for $100 million for the projects that are behind me here today from central Minnesota on those roads and bridges, but it is a statewide initiative, Representative Bernardi.
Thank you very much. Thank you for presenting these bills.
Thank you, Mr.
Are
Chair.
There any other questions? Thank you so much. We'll lay over House File 781 as well. So now, members and members of the public, we'll commence with our public testimony. Before we do that, I do want to call up Commissioner Clark for some words of welcome. I'm sorry I didn't get to you earlier, but we have a wonderful also champion of transportation here to welcome us to Stearns County.
Well, thank
Welcome
you, Mr. Chair and members. And the mayor did a great job welcoming, but we'll just have welcome part two, which is certainly a fair thing to do. As I think a number of the members know, St. Cloud's in many ways, we are not just in central Minnesota, we are in the crossroads in many ways. St. Cloud itself is in three counties. You are happy to be sitting right now in current Senator Ralph's Senate district, as well as Representative Wolgamont's district, my old Senate district, and my current County Commission district. We get rural really quick around here. We have a multiplicity of complicated transportation challenges and opportunities, many of which you're going to hear today. I do want to list just a few of them because a number of us have gotten to work on them over time. We really are a sample, I think, of the state in many ways. You are right near a major bridge that needed to be replaced after the 35W bridge went down. That's something we worked on together. We're just south of a rather big bridge that connects us to Sauk Rapids. The bridge I just mentioned happens to be part of Highway 23. We still have many challenges and issues that need to be dealt with on Highway 23. Interstate 94 is going to come up, Highway 10. Those are all major parts of our community. Our county roads, the small and larger cities and townships as have brought up. Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Bikes, trails, our airport, transit, metro and rural transit continue to be important. And I want to thank you again, Representative Wolgamont and the others, for bringing forward North Star. We did a lot of work, Representative Bernardi, back when I was in the Senate, making sure we got the money to get it as far. There's a lot of negotiations, and I have to admit, if I put my dream hat on, this is my dream hat, we would have both express and trunk availability, because that could make a difference for communities along the way. So what we need right now, broadly, though, we did a lot of work in 08. We got an infusion of funds. You've done some funds in the last few years. I know personally how hard that is. Locally around here, we know how to get past partisan divides. We know how to just work on what is part of our community, what are those needs, how do we use that data. And as we move forward, we know that the significant needs, whether here or more broadly, are for comprehensive, robust, sustainable, new transportation revenue. So hope that you can work together, find the sweet stop so that we really do make that significant leap, because we can't keep trying to do our roads, our bridges, and others piecemeal. And yes, personally, I hope we get our rail up here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Clark, and thank you. So now, members, I do have a long list, which is wonderful, of members of the public that would want to testify. And again, I'm just going to remind everyone, if they could keep it to about 2 minutes, 2.5 at the very most, that way we can get everybody in. If you would like to testify but you didn't call us in advance, you'll have a chance at the very end. Let us know, wave, be recognized, and we'll be able to accommodate you. But we do really want to hear from everybody. And our first person who has signed up to testify is Patty Gartland from Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation. Is Patty here? Okay, great.
Mr.
Representative
Chair,
Bernardi.
I just want to know if you want to put somebody else on deck so they're ready to go.
Oh, sure. That's a good idea. So Heidi Larson from Isaiah is next. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Patty Gartland. I'm the president of the Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation. I also have the honor and privilege of serving as one of four outstate commissioners appointed by the governor to the Metropolitan Airports Commission and serve as vice chair of the Airports Commission at this time. GSDC, as we refer to the Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation, is a private collaboration of more than 140 regional business and community organizations within Benton, Stearns, and Sherburne County. We were founded in 2011 as a private, not-for-profit organization to lead economic development in our region. As mentioned, we have the blessing of a number of cities and counties, and we serve as a conduit to serve the broader interests of the region. The vast majority of our funding actually comes from private business interests. In fact, less than 10% comes from our public partners. They're in part important partners in our work, but the majority of the funding comes from private business. We recognize that quality economic development depends on great quality of life, and for this region and its business environment to thrive, we need excellent education and housing, cultural opportunities, a diverse, talented workforce, efficient access to and through our region, and much more. And of particular interest today is, of course, the focus on access and the need for a robust transportation system. As you all know so well, a strong network of transportation infrastructure, roads, bridges, air, rail, trail, is the backbone and central nervous system of our vibrant community. And currently we have a number of chokeholds. In particular, I-94 expansion to three lanes up to and through St. Cloud is incomplete. Highway 23, gateway from the east and west, is deficient, needs reinvestment. North Star Commuter Rail, of course, stops in Big Lake. We need to extend it. St. Cloud Regional Airport continues to struggle in attracting and sustaining commercial air service. And our MTC bus service lacks sufficient resources to extend routes and hours to many of our primary job location areas. In fact, this morning, you toured New Flyer. You were out in our I-94 business park. They manufacture buses there, but our own bus service does not go there. Additional resources are needed there. Over the last two decades, the central Minnesota area has experienced more growth than any other region in the state. And both state demographer and the U.S. Census Bureau predict that central Minnesota's share of the statewide population is expected to increase 12 to 17%. According to MnDOT, central Minnesota accounts for nearly 75% of statewide congestion on the interregional corridor system, including 40% alone along I-94 between St. Cloud and the Twin Cities. And according to Federal Transportation Resources, no freight corridor is more congested or as critical to the movement of freight as the I-94 corridor. We look for your leadership in helping to address all of these challenges and these opportunities. We encourage your consideration of both Representative Wolgamott's legislation and Representative O'Driscoll's legislation regarding North Star. Let's get it moving, but let's also look at that scope going up to Fort Ripley and looking at the potential opportunity for addressing perhaps some public national security interests with Fort Ripley, and perhaps that might open some new opportunities for federal investment also. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Garland, and thank you for the reminder of just how many different transportation issues and challenges exist here in central Minnesota, and both from both transit and road and bridge needs, and thank you for summarizing those. There really is sort of the center of Minnesota, but it's also the central of a lot of transportation issues, and so thank you for that, for enumerating those. Question, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not a question. I just want to recognize that we have another senator in the room.
I was going to do that.
It's always a challenge to have to recognize senators, but we do it anyway.
Yes. Thank you very much. He tried to come in a little bit inconspicuously, but I did notice that we have Senator Howe here. Senator Howe, thank you. Senator Howe served for many years on this committee in the House, so we gave you your kind of transportation basis here and your education. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here, Senator Howe. And our next testifier is Heidi Larson, followed by Charles Ferguson. Ms. Larson, thanks for being here. Please state your name for the committee.
Yes, my name is Heidi Larson. I appreciate that all the representatives and senators are here today. This is such a gift. So my representative, I'm a resident of St. Cloud. My representative is Dan Wolgamont. My senator is Senator Ralph. I'm here on behalf of healthcare. That's one thing that hasn't come up yet, and it's a huge part of central Minnesota. Our regional hospital here is CentraCare Health. It's a public teaching hospital. I want to connect that directly to the needs of our, if you need specialty care, because then you usually end up going to a research hospital, a public research hospital, which the U of M is. And then if your health isn't even that good, then you might go to another private facility, which is our Mayo Clinic down in the cities. That is taking a lot of transportation when a person is ill. It also, in a state where we don't have paid family leave, almost makes it impossible for a family. I'm standing in front of you as a caregiver of 28 years. I took care of my father. He died almost exactly a year ago. To have his health care work, he was at St. Cloud Hospital for 18 years, and then to get a heart transplant, I brought him to Chicago to another public facility to get a heart transplant. The only way I could get a heart transplant in Illinois was that we are on the rail line. For all the aftercare you need for a transplant, they took him because we have the Amtrak. I don't know if anyone thought about that. After 9/11, you can't fly a plane into our hospitals because they can't go into downtown areas. So helicopters are out of the question. Also, on rail line, an ambulance can be brought to it. And so they often, if you're a fragile patient, you don't want a person to be on a plane. You'd rather them be on rail because an ambulance can be brought to it. After 28 years of not being able to take care of myself, as well as maybe I could have with more time not transporting my dad back and forth to facilities, a lot of times to the U of M, 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with an immune disorder. I'm going to bring up the principle of Occam's razor. A lot of you probably have thought of it, actually not thought of it, unless you are in healthcare and have had that education. Occam's razor is that the simplest answer is often the correct one. I was misdiagnosed for 35 years because they never considered that all of my symptoms were for one reason. It was my blood. It was a cell in my blood. And so every organ, every place blood goes in my body, I am inflamed.
So, Ms. Lawson, if you could wrap up your testimony, that would be helpful.
I will. Yeah. And so with my own illness, I have two of my doctors are here in St. Cloud. One is at the U of M, and one is at Mayo, and then I'm flying to New York City in a few weeks. The doctor from New York City will have to talk to the Mayo doctor so I can have my prescriptions filled. It just makes it very complex with the way our insurance companies are. And people in central Minnesota deserve the same health care as you from the Twin Cities that have multiple hospital systems. I know I'm not the only one that would benefit from North Star. I'm too fatigued. Right now I drive to the cities 3 times a week. You do not know all the accidents I've seen on 94. 94 is often not passable, and I have to take Highway 10. I have my 3-hour treatment, and I have to drive home. That's just not safe.
Well, thank you for sharing your stories. And again, that nexus between transportation and health and healthcare is important and often not remembered. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mr. Ferguson, followed by Ms. Conrad. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Charles Ferguson. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, members and committee. My name is Charles Ferguson. I have lived in St. Cloud for X amount of years, 11, 12, somewhere around there. Minnesota for 25 years. Okay. I'm an active member of faith community. I am a member of the Higher Ground Church of God in Christ. I'm an active member of Isaiah. I have been part of this work for many years now. I've started working on this North Star for about 7 years plus. For me, the access to affordability and reliable transit is not just a luxury, but it is also a need. Getting to work and back and forth. I remember when that train, when the link first started, I was working down in the cities at that particular time. It was very vital for me to get to work. Very important situation. It is not about connecting us here in St. Cloud, the Twin Cities. It is about making the community here in Central Minnesota stronger and more connected for the people or who want to be able to connect with their families and ability to do better. And the famous words of this gentleman right here, I'm going to use it, community grows where transportation goes. And I believe that we need to understand that this is one of the most important vital instruments for people to be able to get better health care, better housing, better communities, better everything. Community goals, I mean, grows where transportation goes. I won't spend a lot of time on a lot of words that already been said, but I will say is that this, we trust you guys to be able to put this thing together. And Dan Wagamont, thank you so much. You are great in my opinion. We trust you guys to put this together and get it working. With that, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. You know, the last time I was in St. Cloud, someone said, what good is a job if you can't get there? And I use that all the time. And now I'm going to use community grows where transportation goes. So
yes, sir.
I always get good good transportation sound bites in St. Cloud. Next, we have Ms. Conrad, followed by Mr. Qualley.
Good afternoon. I'm Jane Conrad. I'm the field representative for the East Central Area Labor Council, which is an affiliate of the Minnesota AFL-CIO. I'd like to thank the committee for coming all the way up here. I'm glad it is not snowing and you didn't have to drive through a driving blizzard. I'm also supposed to tell you and pass the word on to all of you from many people who emailed, text, and messaged me in all different ways that there are many more Central Minnesotans that want to be here today because of work, school, and other schedules. They are not here. They can't be here. So be aware we probably could have had double this amount. I did have a testimony written out, but I decided I'm going to trash that, keep it short and sweet. But North Star in this area, it's about care. It's about care of individuals. It's about care of our communities. It's about care of people with disabilities. It's about the care of our children. And in my profession and what I do is I organize, which means I have a lot of conversations. I have one-on-one conversations, drink a lot of coffee. So if I'm talking fast, it's because I drink a lot of coffee. But the one thing when I talk to people about North Star, it does not matter whether you are Republican or Democrat, independent. It doesn't matter whether you are Muslim or Catholic or Lutheran. People want this train. And in the last year that I have been talking to people about this, they are getting angrier and angrier and angrier. Because here in Central Minnesota, they don't feel that they're being heard. They don't feel that they're being valued. They don't feel that they matter. And we know that we need the transportation for commerce, for improving our community, and bringing us into the 21st century. As a matter of fact, I've had several emails of people telling me they were going to come down here today, and they were going to testify, and they were going to be yelling at all of you guys, where's our train? I talked them out of it. But this is about the health and well-being and the future of our community. It doesn't matter what party you are with. It's across sector that people need this train. Now, I realize that we are just talking about a bill to do a study. I am asking you to support HF 1179. Move this forward. Let's see where we are. Let's see what ridership is. Let's see what the cost is. Unless we do a study, we have no answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Conrad. Mr. Philip Qualley, followed by Mr. Dave Brown. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Philip Quelli, State Director for the United Transportation Union Smart Transportation Division. I will be as brief as possible. First of all, it's great to be in the Granite City, which is a home base of the Amtrak conductors and engineers that operate trains number 7 and 8 that contribute to our main street economies, and also the town where my great-grandfather, the German side of my family, Frank Bettenberg, was the chief of police. I expect to make it out of town today. First of all, I'd like to point out that we do have a handout. Welcome everyone to take one from the railroad workers who actually operate Amtrak, North Star Commuter Rail, Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, Canadian Pacific, Canadian National, Union Pacific, and three short lines in the state of Minnesota. Before talking about the study, and we thank you for bringing the bill forward, we'd like to point out across the United States there is tremendous growth in state corridor commuter and state-operated trains. And the amount of exponential economic growth that comes from the expansion of these corridors can benefit St. Cloud. And as well, in the handout, I'd like to point out that we have some public survey information. We have a handout from Amtrak. We also have a Hiawatha service as a comparison to what a corridor service might look like, the Milwaukee to Chicago comparison. And then finally, on the final page of the handout, some abstracted articles from across the United States of all the state corridor services and passenger growth that is happening. I hope you'll take a look at it. As we look at the study very quickly, Mr. Chairman, I want to point out that when we talk about North Star, we talk about a commuter or a state corridor service. And while we may call it North Star, we're really talking about apples and oranges, and that we appreciate that this study will be able to sort out our best options. Again, the commuter services go with the Federal Transit Administration, and a inter or intrastate service goes with the Federal Railroad Administration. The study is necessary to best ascertain the best alternative. But again, think about the business commuters, think about the arts community, think about the college students, and the tremendous revenue growth that we have for Stearns County, Benton County, and St. Cloud area. I'll simply close by saying we support the study, and that one important piece here is when we talk about costs and benefits, Amtrak has the congressionally mandated authority to operate an intrastate system, and it is our best interest that we have an efficient, integrated system, and Amtrak can provide that. They will be, their officials will be in town in a couple of weeks, and look forward to meeting you. I would finally be remiss if I did not mention that the Staples Burlington Northern subdivision, the Burlington Northern Railway right outside the door, the Staples subdivision, is one of the most beautiful pieces of railway in the nation. I see all the railway in this state. Mr. Brown operates on that segment. It is well engineered. It is double main line. And quite frankly, we're prepared to run the trains now. We appreciate a study's necessary, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Before we commence with Mr. Brown's testimony, I did note that Mr. Banyan was here earlier. I don't know if he's still here. I know he had a time constraint. Okay. Well, that's too bad. All right. Well, I know that.
Can I tell you what he was? He just wanted to say that St. Cloud State was behind me.
Okay. Well, you know what? Why don't we do this, Representative Tice? He's a little further down the list. I just noticed that he had a time issue, so I wanted to call him up. But in his spot, maybe we could have you testify if that's okay. Or not.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay, so note for the record, King Banyan's, again, repeat his position here.
He was here supporting the St. Cloud State as the Dean of Public Affairs, just to say that St. Cloud State absolutely was behind Representative Wolgamott's bill.
Okay.
Giving it a thumbs up.
Good. Okay, well, that's good to hear.
I don't know what else he was going to say, so.
All right, thank you. All right. Noted for the record, our former colleague, King Banyan, supports the North Star bill. Okay, Mr. Brown, now it's your Representative Bernardi.
Good morning,
Okay, I was trying to be brief about this. Sorry, Mr. Chair, but since we mentioned a former representative, I did want to say that Representative Zach Dorholt is in the crowd as well.
So. Did not see Mr. Dorholt. Ah. Welcome, Mr. Dorholt. Hey, Mr. Brown, please. I had to get to a meeting of the I-94 Coalition a few weeks ago, and the only way I could get to Rogers was to take the North Star to, I think I got off at Elk River. And who was the conductor but Mr. Brown? So,
no, I was the engineer.
Or the engineer, right.
Vince Roberts.
I get these terms mixed up. He was driving.
Well, if I had a steering wheel, I could. Yeah, but yeah. I operate the train.
Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome to the committee, and thanks for the ride.
You're welcome. Good morning, Chairman Hornstein and esteemed members of this committee. My name is Dave Brown. I am the Minnesota State Legislative Chairman. I'm also National Region 3 Legislative Chairman for the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen. We are the founding members of the International Brotherhoods of Teamsters Rail Conference and members of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. As a BLET member and a representative, we represent all the locomotive engineers in the country. On behalf of the 40,000 active BLET members and over 150 IBT Rail Conference members and over 1.4 million members of the IBT, we urge this committee to support the passage of House File 1179. I have worked various crafts on the BNSF, and right now I'm working as the locomotive engineer on the North Star Rail. I have personally witnessed an increase in ridership that my train has provided. Many passengers they express to me the North Star bus to and from St. Cloud to Big Lake can be inconvenient due to wait times, slower travel times, and weather conditions. We operate in all weather conditions. When you had the snowstorm, North Star was running. The time savings and convenience of the train operating in St. Cloud and on to Target Field expressed to me on a daily basis. NASCAR's commuter trains operate when other modes of transportation can't due to traffic condition or the ever-changing Minnesota weather conditions. Extending this commuter rail to St. Cloud would provide a great many folks the convenience to travel to their work and school locations and back home safely in a timely manner. This would eliminate congestion on the highways and improve the wear and tear on the roads. We have now have the rail capacity improvements from Becker to Big Lake. They replaced the second rail from Big Lake to Becker that was moved back in the 1970s. They installed high-speed crossovers. They have improved the signal systems and many other upgrades. This line now has the capacity for the North Star commuter line extension to St. Cloud with literally no disruption to freight traffic. The St. Cloud route would see an expansion of ridership from commuters, students, and families. North Star bus service has well over 3,000 regular passengers per month. That was in the last study. I urge this committee to pass House File 1179 that provides the steps necessary to extend this North Star rail service to St. Cloud. It's time to let's get the train on the track and highball to St. Cloud.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Is Mr. James here from Amtrak? I'm not sure I saw him. What? He's not here. Okay.
He sends his regards. He'll be in your office in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I look forward to meeting with all of you. He's in Lawrence, Kansas, where they're expanding Interstate Corridor Rail.
Thank you, Mr. Qualley. Is Commissioner Perksy here? Okay. Persky, sorry. Sorry about that. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Stearns County Commissioner and Chair Joe Persky. And I'll tell you, it's nice to see all the familiar faces here in this room. And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for being here. You may not be too familiar with Stearns County. If you're not, just to let you know, Stearns County is kind of two-faced. In the eastern part of Stearns County, we've got a lot of people. And in western Stearns County, we've got a lot of cows. We're the number one dairy state, but also we're the seventh largest county in the state of Minnesota. So we've got a lot of people. And a lot of those people would like to see North Star happen. I've been a member of the Area Planning Organization for quite some time. It goes back to the time when Representative O'Driscoll said he was a member of the Sartell's City Council, as well as being the mayor, also serving with Mayor Kleiss. But there's many members, post, present, and past, that are here in the audience that represent that APO. This past week, we were in Washington, D.C., and we carried this packet and delivered it to our congressional members. On the front page is North Star. That just shows you that we've been working a long time to get North Star to happen, and we very much so would like to see that happen. Also, another major project was the corridor for 94, as well as the regional airport. With North Star, we've heard a lot of folks supporting it, but just in general, we want to move the people here. A lot of people want to get to the metro, but I haven't heard people talk about why they want to get to the metro. They want to get to the U of M. They want to get to the U of M hospital. They want to get to the Capitol. They could even get to the airport, which means they wouldn't have to drive down there and park. Okay. We also have the sports teams down there, both the University of Minnesota, we also and the professional teams as well. But coming this way as well, we've got St. John's, St. Ben's, St. Cloud State. We've got the VA hospital here and all the commuter workers that would like to do that. I also would like to point out that a few years ago we had a major tragedy in the area, and that is that we had the explosion and fire at the mill in Sartell. That piece of property still remains vacant. And I want to say that I would like to see St. Cloud be the hub of that transportation city of bringing North Star here, that Metro Bus would be the center here, and focus coming out of St. Cloud. But I also want to say that Sartell could also provide for the north end of that. Representative O'Driscoll mentioned the 20,000 people that live in Sartell. We also have 13, 14,000 people in Sauk Rapids. But going north on Highway 10, you've got Rice, Royalton, Little Falls, Brainerd. All those people could come in and park in Sartell. The first stop in the center would be St. Cloud. But I just don't want the study to overlook that. So coming here, I want to say I'm in very much the support of North Star, and I'm very much in support of that study happening. Rather than come back like a bad cold, I have another issue for you, and that is local transportation needs. And Representative O'Driscoll's bill addresses that very well. When it comes down to transportation, a lot of the funding does go out to the cities and to the counties, but the townships are suffering. And all across the country, we have crumbling infrastructure, whether it be culverts or bridges or roads. Okay, I'll talk as fast as I can.
Well, you know, you're the chair of the county board, Commissioner Persky, so we'll give you a little bit.
Give me a few more minutes? Okay, thank you. Because I do have one particular, and I would say it's a hallmark case for us to show you what the problem is. And that is, we have a road, and it's in Representative O'Driscoll's district and Senator Howe's district. We call it Town Line Road. And recently we made the commitment to build a $90 million high school in Sartell. Well, the road connects a small village of St. Stephen to St. Cloud or to Sartell. But the townships are the ones that bear the brunt of it. It goes through the townships. These townships have no money in which to support this road. This is an old road built decades ago. Some of it is actually laying on timbers with high banks, and also provides safety issues because of the size of the ditches and also the wetland area that's around there in the fog. Well, now we're going to have students that are going to be traveling on that road. These townships don't have the money in which to move that road forward. St. Wendell Township has a two-mile section of that, of which they only have three driveways. So they find it very difficult to do that. So I would be very much in support of a project, perhaps, to move that project in particular forward. It's about a $6.5 million project. After this meeting, I'll be able to hand you out some literature on that. But going back to the first thing, North Star is important. I come from a railroad family, and I'll tell you what, it's been a long time waiting for this, and we'd like to see it happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Persky. Thank you again for sort of reminding us about all modes, and I think you gave a very good rationale for Representative O'Driscoll's bill as well. So, okay, we are now moving on to Mr. Klein and then Mr. Williamson. Is Mr. Klein here? Okay. Brendan Klein, welcome to the committee.
Thank
Please
you,
state
Mr. Chair.
Your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Brendan Klein. I'm a senior at St. John's University and the College of St. Benedict in St. Joseph, Minnesota. I'm here at this hearing today instead of at class, because this is an issue of utmost importance to our community. As a representative of our Student Senates and the Eugene J. McCarthy Center for Civic Engagement and Public Policy, I spent this last week collecting student opinion on extending the North Star line to St. Cloud. Being at CSB-SUU has a lot of advantages. Our academics, athletic teams, and student organizations consistently receive national recognition, in large part driven by our passionate, diverse student body that desires to leave the world better than we found it. As a tour guide, I can attest that this national recognition does not go unnoticed, as I frequently meet with families from Los Angeles to Miami. What we do not have and desperately need is an easily accessible and affordable mode of transportation to the Twin Cities and Minneapolis airports. Our community is able to thrive since we attract students from all across Minnesota, the United States, and the globe. Students come from Minneapolis, International Falls, Nebraska, to Nigeria. These students contribute to the local economy, volunteer in the local community, and are the pioneers for future Bennies and Johnnies to follow behind. I bring today this important testimony of over 500 individuals, in-state, out-of-state, international, who cannot be here today either for academic reasons or sadly because they're stranded 8 miles away due to lack of access to transportation. In just 2 days of outreach, we had over 500 students state that they would utilize the extension if created. 200 submitted personal stories to be shared with the committee. I'm trying my best to express their thoughts as best I can within 2 minutes. As one student aptly observed, getting home is like being in the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You never knew how you're getting to the next place. Students are currently left with few options, either owning or purchasing a car, taking Executive Express, which costs over $100 round trip to the airport, or having the fortune of being friends with a classmate whose schedule happens to line up with yours. In comparison, a low-cost, eco-friendly alternative such as the North Star would make accessibility to not just CSB-SJU, but Central Minnesota as well, a reality for young people like me. I say these things not to ask the state to shelter myself and students like me from the consequences of our decisions to go to a school in Central Minnesota, but rather to show that there's significant student demand and desire for transportation such as the North Star line, since we have very few cost-effective and accessible alternatives. I would also recommend that the committee explores the creation of a public circulator bus that runs between the city of St. Joseph and the proposed St. Cloud station as an additional step to make sure that this is accessible to students, as well as entertaining the idea of student discounts for rail tickets. I thank the committee for their time. I would be honored to work with our local representatives further on ensuring that student voice is heard in this legislation. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Williamson, followed by Ms. Wenzel. Mr. Williamson left? Okay, we can maybe get back to him. Ms. Wenzel? Jennifer Wenzel? Okay, hopefully we can get back to her as well. Ms. Zavala? And then Ms. Friedman Velkovich is next.
Thank you. My name is Claudia Zavala. I'm a resident of Sauk Rapids. I'll get right into it. We have 12 years left to stave off the worst, most destructive aspects of climate change. And the science surrounding this is clear. In 2007, an intergovernmental panel on climate change report concluded that to limit global warming to 4 degrees Fahrenheit, which would save us from the deadliest effects of climate change, we must reduce CO2 emissions by a minimum of 50%. In 2010, private vehicles using conventional fuel sources accounted for over 2/3 of transportation-related emissions, and carbon dioxide made up 95% of those emissions. With full occupancy, commuter rail transit generates the lowest CO2 emissions per passenger mile compared to every other method of transportation. Another 2007 study conducted by the Texas Transportation Institute found that by reducing traffic congestion, public transit saved an estimate of 340 million gallons of fuel over the course of 1 year. We can ban single-use plastics, we can recycle and share Facebook videos about composting, we can all go out and buy LED light bulbs en masse, but if we don't make the reduction of CO2 emissions and leaving behind our reliance on fossil fuels a central focus on curbing the effects of climate change, it won't be very long until we find ourselves in very hot water. I really, truly love road construction. I do. I think it's wonderful that Minnesota is beginning to invest in its infrastructure, in its roads and in its bridges. But in 2018, MnDOT announced a $1.1 billion construction spending plan covering 253 new and ongoing projects. They announced this plan 5 months after wrapping up the $1 billion construction season in 2017. Is this a pattern that we can afford to continue? Is this a pattern that we want to continue? Or does it make more sense to invest now and do everything that we can to relieve the burden on our infrastructure? Here we have an opportunity to drastically cut into CO2 emissions, which are a security concern, a public health concern, and an economic concern that we cannot afford to ignore. We have an opportunity to invest in the future of generations yet to come and save millions on road construction and repairs. It's 2019, and quality public transit can't just be for the metropolitan areas. Finishing the North Star will undoubtedly change the lives of people living in the St. Cloud area. But pushing for more public transit options, public rail in particular, for rural and small town areas, is a part of a national movement that must be hastened. We are Minnesotans. We are leaders and pioneers in the Midwest. We must finish what we started. I urge the members of this committee to vote yes on Dan Wogelmuth's bill.
Thank you very much, Ms. Zavala. And Ms. Zavala, I just wanted to note that per her testimony, we had some testimony from the Pollution Control Agency a couple of weeks ago on transportation and climate change specifically. And they noted that transportation is now the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the state, and it's the fastest growing source. So I appreciate your testimony related to that. We have Ms. Friedman-Velkovich followed by Ms. Lair next. Is Ms. Friedman-Velkovich here? Thank you for attending, and please state your name for the record.
My name is Freda Velkovich. I want to thank you all for coming here to St. Cloud. I have some difficulty, not as much as Heidi, but enough so that driving I-94 concerns me. It concerns me at night because it's dark, and in this weather, it's not always safe. I'm also not very comfortable getting a bus to Big Lake to stand there in the shelter waiting for a train. I'm getting older. It's cold out there. I need something that can get me and my husband and my grandchildren from St. Cloud to the cities and stops along the way. I have a very important conference in St. Paul on Sunday. It's going to snow again tomorrow, and I'm going to drive to Harding High School to be there by 8 o'clock. Now, I have all-wheel drive. I have anti-lock brakes. Not everyone can afford that, okay? I'm lucky that I can. I have friends here in the community who can't even afford a car, let alone a car that's capable of driving the interstate. I'd also like to say it's really important for St. Cloud. I'll reiterate what the gentleman said about where the train grows. The economy develops. There's apartments. There's food. There's retail. There's parking. It adds to the economic base of St. Cloud. And It provides a service to the surrounding areas. I have friends in Annandale who would drive to St. Cloud to get on the train to go to the city. For ball games, for culture, for museums, for conferences. It's endless. It's endless.
Can you please wrap up?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I see Mr. Stephen Bott in the front row, and I'd like to call on him for his testimony.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein, representatives. I'm actually here wearing two hats today. One is as a chair of the I-94 Coalition, and then my day job as the city administrator and public works director for the city of St. Michael. On behalf of the League of Minnesota Cities, I also want to testify on behalf of Senator O'Driscoll's bill and thank him for putting that forward. But first for I-94, and thank you, Chair Hornstein.
You demoted him to Senate. I don't know if you're aware of that. Continue.
Sorry about that. And former Chair Torkelson for being so supportive, and all of you for being so supportive of the I-94 Coalition. As has been said here, a lot of people stole my thunder on numbers, whether it's congestion or safety or the environment or whatever. Moving traffic along I-94 is critical. And our great folks at the Chamber and Greater St. Cloud area talked about the economics of what moving traffic along 94 means. And some of you were probably there a few years ago when some of the businesses from this area were actually able to calculate the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they lose along I-94. And the fact that with the recent bills and the great Corridors of Commerce program, we were able to, with your help, advocate for and ultimately get a lot of these areas on this map that's in your packet going and projects, and $350 million worth of projects will happen over the next 3 years along 94, and I thank you very much for that. We do have one little spot of red here yet that there's continued needs, as you all know, to continue to help fund programs like that and continue to keep the system going so that we can get all the way up to St. Cloud and meet the needs all the way through to keep that big freight line going and keep those traffic moving and keep commerce moving in Minnesota. So I thank you for your continued advocacy for transportation and for your support of the I-94 Coalition, and let's just keep it rolling and keep those projects moving. My other item on behalf of League of Minnesota Cities on the ones that Representative O'Driscoll put forward, those are really key for local cities. We have a ton of cities, whether they're large or small, and I can tell the personal story when we did Trunk Highway 241, our council member Nadine Chains here, council had to put up $9 million. We're a town of about 17,000 people. $9 million to help pay for the trunk highway in local costs through the city, and that's a lot. We've, with councils being brave, a lot of you are local elected officials, you know that's a big burden on some cities, including ours, and they've had to raise property taxes 1% over the last number of years just alone to fund that debt service that we took on. It's been a great project, but that's a big burden, so I thank you for that. And I also know for the smaller cities and some of these bridges that maybe serve only hundreds of people, but they hit an ag area that serves tens of thousands of people with their food and services, those bills and that support for local support for cities is very much appreciated. So thank you for being here in St. Cloud, and let's keep things rolling with a great session, I hope.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Bott, and it's, I see Councilmember Shannon here. And we kind of worked hard together on developing the Corridors of Commerce program, and I think many of you along the I-94 corridor really helped, you know, get that going. And I'll always appreciate that and remember that, and thank you so much for being here as well. And
yeah, thank you.
A lot of good things in your area going on.
Let's keep it
transportation.
Going. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Is Ms. Teich here from the Stearns County Engineer? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jody Teich. I'm the Stearns County Engineer. I also am here to testify in favor of House File 780 from Representative O'Driscoll. I'll try to make this brief because I feel like I'm speaking to the proverbial choir based on the comments you made earlier and Mr. Bott's comments. But I do want you to remember that 80% of the bridges in the state are on those local roads. This local bridge replacement program is the only way many of these deficient bridges can get replaced because they're owned by townships, small cities, cities over 5,000, counties. And if we can't find some outside revenue to supplement what we have to replace these bridges, these farm-to-market routes, commuter routes, routes that our kids get to school on are going to be severely load-posted. As one story, and I'm sure there are stories like this throughout the state, Stearns County recently had to load post a bridge on a major collector that connects two cities within Stearns County. We had to lease a special small-size snowplow so we could plow that road until we can get that structure replaced. Because the maximum load on there is 14 tons, so we had to get a small plow. It can only be partially loaded with salt. We joked that we were going to have to weigh our plow operators before every snowfall to see who had to plow that road. But all joking aside, in Benton, Sherburne, and Stearns County alone, just this area, you have 14 structurally deficient bridges on the local system. And that's just a microcosm of the entire state and what we're looking at. Stearns County has made the hard decision to use local dollars to replace bridges that were not on that waiting list yet because we realized we couldn't wait. We couldn't wait until there was enough money to get far enough down that waiting list. But that also meant that we had to put off other very important projects, reconstruction, resurfacing. We weren't able to upgrade our 10-ton system. And again, we're one county, and I think we're actually in a better situation than a lot of counties throughout the state. Related to the local road improvement program, I just want to stress again that these are projects on farm-to-market, freight and commuter routes. They're downtown connections to trunk highways. And these are vital to local economies throughout the state. And when locals do better, the entire state does better. The Highway User Tax Distribution Fund in Minnesota has an annual funding shortfall in excess of $1 billion. Annually, $1 billion. So the applications that MnDOT receives for this program don't come close to all of the needs in the state. In many cases, this type of outside funding is the only way these local entities will ever be able to make some of these much-needed improvements, and the only way cities can afford their financial burden on both MnDOT and county projects. I want to stress also, these two programs do not pay for 100% of the project costs. Local agencies pay engineering costs, they acquire necessary right-of-way, and local construction costs typically equal or far exceed the amount of bonding funds received. On average, for every dollar in state bonding funds spent on a project, $3 in local funding is spent. So they're not handouts, and I want to thank you again. I want to specifically thank Representatives O'Driscoll and Wolgamott for your support for these local funding programs, and thank you to the whole committee.
Thank you very much, Ms. Teich. I'm going to call on Mr. Huser. Is he here, Mr. Huser, from the Metro Cities? And then I'm going to have Mr. McGowan after him, Dan McGowan. Mr. Huser, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Huser, and I represent Metro Cities. Metro Cities represent cities in the 7-county metropolitan area. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today on House File 780. Metro Cities would like to thank Representative O'Driscoll for bringing the legislation forward. Metro Cities supports the creation of a local cost share assistance account. These funds will allow cities that, without a source of local matching funds, would not be able to participate in state road construction projects. These funds will allow cities to incorporate a future local infrastructure project into a state project, and by doing so, avoid multiple disruptions in a travel corridor. Metro Cities also supports the inclusion of the local bridge replacement and rehabilitation and local road improvement fund grant appropriations in this bill. Metro Cities also supports funding for the small cities account and look forward to working with the committee to solve the city street funding problems that we're facing in this state. Thank you for the opportunity to express our support and be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Huser. Appreciate it. Mr. McGowan? And then we'll have Mr. Wicken after Mr. McGowan.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein and committee members. My name is Dan McGowan. I live in Lent Township. I am a proud member of Labor's Local 563. Thousands of our members work on bridge and road projects in Minnesota, and I'm here today to ask you to fix our roads and bridges to ease congestion and improve safety. We need to have an honest conversation about raising taxes to fix our crumbling roads and deficient bridges and transit. We need to listen to the experts, such as local elected officials, city and county engineers, and construction workers that build and maintain our infrastructure. The Minnesota State Highway System needs approximately $39 billion in funding over the next 20 years, and MnDOT estimates it will have $21 billion to invest in the system over that same time period, resulting in an $18 billion deficit funding gap. And we need $18 billion in new revenue just to maintain our current state and highway system. A 20-cent indexed gas tax, along with additional new revenue, will provide sufficient revenue to fill the state's $18 billion state highway infrastructure funding gap. The gas tax is fair because it is like a user fee. Those who use roads and bridges are paying for improving roads and bridges. And the gas tax is dedicated to fixing our roads and bridges. So I'm asking you to please support a 20-cent gas tax increase indexed to inflation, dedicated to fixing our roads, bridges, and transportation infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGowan. Mr. Wicken, welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Thank you.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Tony Wicken. I'm from Blaine, Minnesota, which I got a couple of reps over here from. I'm here today also representing the building trades in the state of Minnesota. I worked for the Laborers Union for the past 20 years, and I represent about 13,000 members at any given time in the state. I'm also here to support the 20-cent gas tax. Just remember, anybody stop and think of what happened in 2007? I do. I was the last car that went across the 35W bridge. That made it safely. Excuse me. So please, think about all the bridges, the roads, and everything else in this state that people work on, and what we need to keep just maintaining, not adding to. Where we're at today, we cannot maintain where we're at. So 20 cents is only a small portion. So please, again, vote for this tax. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Janice Lair, followed by Ms. Monica Segura.
My name is Janice Lair, and I just want to thank you all for listening, because I've done this kind of thing, and I know how it can get kind of boring. But
not boring at all. That's
yeah.
Why I'm here.
I just want to say that I want the train, the North Star. Everybody I've talked to wants the North Star. And I also am for the paid family medical leave. I was the union shop chairperson at Electrolux for 5.5 years, and I've seen a lot of people lose their homes, their apartments even, because of medical issues and the bankruptcies they had to file, because the biggest bankruptcies are from medical issues. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lair. Ms. Segura, followed by Mr. Conrad.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I am Monica Segura Schwartz. I live in St. Cloud. I belong to the school board in St. Cloud and several other boards and other organizations. And to not, somebody says that you have been hearing a lot about support for the North Star. So I feel that I am preaching to the choir again. Kind of repeating the same things that have been said. One thing that I want to mention is that I do have a friend that lives in Monticello and has t- told me she lives in Monticello and works in the Twin Cities in Xcel Energy. And she has told me how her life has been so much better since she has time for herself, going in the train, reading a book, time to relax and being herself instead of being driving in the highway for so long. I would like to have the same thing. It's really inconvenient to try to go to the cities. I'm currently studying in Metro State University, and going to the cities with this weather and attempting to take the train in the middle of the way is just a waste of time. So I hope that you not only get the train up to here, but that you also get it efficiently and in time that is and the travel time will be comparable to the time that it takes you to drive there. Thank you very much for hearing me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll have Mr. Conrad, and then after that, James Robbins.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for coming to St. Cloud. My name is William Conrad, and I live in Senate District number 13. I would like to address the transportation bill to repair our infrastructure. As far too long, we have neglected our roads, as you know, and bridges to the point of becoming unsafe and damaging to our vehicles. Our highway system was built and left to us by our ancestors. They are known as the greatest generation. They understood the importance of investing in our state, nation, and in the future. They realized that they would not benefit from much of what they built, but they invested anyway. How have we honored that gift and sacrifice? We have let it crumble. And we don't start repairing and investing soon, we will pass nothing forward, and most likely we will be known as the taker generation. I fully and wholeheartedly support increasing the gas tax. I am adamantly against use of sales tax from auto parts to fund any part of the transportation bill. This tax already exists, which helps pay for much of our needed schools, senior aid, aid for people with disabilities, just to name a few. These programs are already underfunded. Why take even more from them? A transportation bill dedicated funding through the gas tax is fair. It means everyone who uses the roads will pay. It means my grandchildren won't pay for something that is our responsibility. Please vote in favor of the gas tax for our infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. James Robbins, followed by Mr. Tim Burkhart.
I'm James Robbins with the Small Cities Association. MALSC represents the interests of 707 cities in Minnesota. Although we are only 5,000 and under in population, together these communities are home to more than 660,000 state residents. Our membership comes from the Twin Cities and Greater Minnesota. So thank you, Chair Hornstein, Lead Torkelson, the rest of the members. Thank you for coming out here to St. Cloud and also doing hearings other parts of the state and in the Twin Cities. Our member cities will be actively participating in the hearings. Here with me today to speak about our city street needs is Small Cities Board Vice Chair Tim Burkhart, and who is a Hinckley City Council member, and also St. Martin City Council member Randy Olmscheid. Earlier, Perham City Manager John Smith was here and said hi to the chair. He has some testimony that we've submitted in our packet. You have several submissions from nearby cities indicating the situation in their communities. One of the examples, that very first sample in the front of the packet, is a walk-on. Now, that's a community that does not get LGA, has State Highway 27 running through it, no curb and gutter, even though it's the main street. Our comments today apply generally to the small cities' needs. We greatly appreciate the local cost share proposal, helping with local costs associated with state road projects that are contained in HF 781. Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative O'Driscoll, for that effort. We view the $10 million yearly for small cities assistance in the HF 780 as a possible supplement to the far larger street maintenance and improvement needs in our communities. Those costs now total more than $225 million a year, according to state auditor reports. All right, I need to wrap up. I just want to say we are in partnership with the League of Minnesota Cities to provide adequate funding, not only for small cities, which receive zero state support through the Dedicated Highway User Fund, but we also provide for an equal amount for the non-MSA streets in those larger communities. We appreciate that Governor Walz is putting forward a substantial effort on the transportation revenue side of the equation. Unfortunately, the distribution side leaves one Minnesota awfully rough around the edges. The greatest unmet need, small city streets, has been left out in the cold. We will have a bill ready for you next week that we'll be submitting, introducing, and you will see another possible solution. We welcome all possible funding efforts to address our situation. Now, up next, we have Tim Burkhart from Hinckley, and after that, we'll have Randy Olmscheid from St.
That's where I was going, so thank you. And I appreciate, Mr. Robbins, your testimony. I mean, if there's a theme, we have some unmet needs that I really appreciate being addressed here by the public. North Star, small cities, and I think it reflects the priorities of our St. Cloud members here. So thanks for that testimony. So yes, we will have Mr. Burkhart and then followed by Mr. Olmscheid.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing us to put a face on some of our needs in small cities. I'm a city council member in Hinckley, as Mr. Robbins has alluded. Been a city council member since 2008, member of the Minnesota Association of Small Cities since 2010. In Hinckley, even though we're 1,800 in population, we've grown considerably since the last census in 2010. I think 1,800 is probably 20% low right now. Traffic comes off of I-35, as you can imagine, summer resort activity, and the casino, of course, and many people still get off to go to Toby's. They're quite familiar with that. Our streets get more than their fair share of wear and tear, as you can imagine, with that kind of traffic. The last count I read, $1.4 million cars take the Hinckley exit off the freeway. So that's significantly more than it was 20 years ago when we were pre-casino. There was less traffic, obviously. There's more now. We patched a lot of potholes with the $18,500 we received last year, repaired some sewer access points damaged by traffic. The full maintenance cost, much more, of course. Keep in mind, we received some small cities assistance in 2016. We missed a year, and then the last 2 years, we got a little bit more again, so we've been able to certainly do that, but it doesn't go very far in a city budget when you're talking about major street repairs. Some of the things, of course, that small cities are finding, and Commissioner Persky, I believe, alluded to the fact that infrastructure is crumbling. We thought we were the only ones that had clay pipes that were disappearing before our eyes before we had our engineer come out and take a look at it. In the small cities, we found that there's many cities about our age who are experiencing that same difficulty with their streets. So we know that there's a lot of work to be done, and we're really not prepared to bite off all those costs based on the way the situation is right now as far as no funding for cities under 5,000 population. All of our 707 small cities don't get that dedicated funding, direct state highway user funding, and many are struggling economically. If new revenues are coming, please make an effort to look at the whole system, including our streets and small cities that rely entirely on property taxes and assessments. And nobody likes to face an unhappy customer. We do every day. They're right next door. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Burkhardt. And I wonder how many of those, I think you said 24 million, are going to Toby's when they vehicles. Mr. Olmscheid, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Randy Olmscheid. I'm from the city of St. Martin. I'm a council member. St. Martin is a small city, a population of about 343 people. We're located in central Minnesota. It's about 30 miles west of St. Cloud here. Regarding the state small city assistance payments, we have received off and on the past few years. They are helpful, but they don't begin to cover our annual costs of patching, crack filling on our crumbling streets. We have no money left in our budget to rebuild these streets. One estimate we got last year on about a half mile street to completely redo the whole thing was over $900,000. City streets in St. Martin add up to around about 6 miles, and all of them need to be redone. Our 100-plus households and small businesses cannot take a full burden anymore due to the high cost of street infrastructure. All our financial efforts have been going in the last few years were to water and sewer projects in order to keep our residents and businesses safe. The cost of living in small towns is growing each year, and the cost of, also the cost of running a business is. And all the falling households increased dramatically. Increase in predictable funding in our city streets is what's needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Olmscheid. Next would be Mr. Scott Wells, followed by Mr. Stephen Filion. Mr. Wells? Okay, Mr. Filion.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for taking my testimony. I come wearing a number of hats. I'm a professor of sociology at St. Cloud State University. I'm the chair of the sociology department. I'm a member of the IFO. And I'm also the co-chair of the board of the Greater Minnesota Workers Center, which advocates and organizes low-wage workers in the Greater Minnesota area. And our organizer, Muhammad Goni, later will be speaking on behalf of the Workers Center. So I'll be just speaking in my role as a commuter to St. Cloud State University from Maple Grove. I'll spare you the temptation to deliver an academic lecture, but I will share with you a concept that we develop with our students in sociology, the notion of a sociological imagination, which urges students to make the connection between their own personal troubles and broader social problems in the social context and social institutions which shape the personal problems that they're experiencing. And I can tell you as a commuter from Maple Grove, first of all, why am I commuting? I commute because not because of my individual choice so much, but because of the family that I'm a part of. My wife is a professor at St. Thomas University, and so Maple Grove is a so-called middle point between the Twin Cities and St. Cloud. So for me to not be a commuter, and anyone who knows me knows that I would give anything to not have to be commuting on a daily basis. I commute anywhere between 4 to 5 days a week to St. Cloud State, and sometimes even 6 days a week. As I said, I would give anything not to have to do that. And the only thing I would have to do to not have to do that is to get divorced and lose interest in my 16-year-old son, neither of which I intend to do. I can tell you that if, and I can tell you another personal problem or trouble that I face as a commuter is a lot of wear and tear on my car. And also, of course, the feeling of why am I contributing more to the problem of climate change and with my personal carbon footprint by driving so much. I have a Subaru that I bought in 2016. Right now it has about almost 70,000 miles on it. And by the end of this year, it'll have over 80 to 85,000 miles on it, just from commuting mostly. I see every day the parking lot going towards Minnesota, and when I go back home, going towards St. Cloud. I can tell you that had I the opportunity to take a train, a light rail from Maple Grove that would go straight to St. Cloud without the stops and Big Lake and the extra work that goes into getting up here, I know that I would be very glad to be taking that train at least two or three times a week. There are sometimes when I teach in the evening, it's not feasible. I would concur with the Chamber of Commerce representative's sentiment that if that train can be extended so that it leaves at times other than 6:42 in the morning from Anoka, where I would have to pick it up, that would be certainly a positive. But in any event, even if I had to leave that early to get up to St. Cloud and to leave and get back on that train and be back home by 5:30, I'll tell you that would be a real significant benefit to my personal troubles.
Thank you very much, Mr. Filion.
Thank you.
We have Ms. Maura Walsh, followed by Ms. Ann Buchwald. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name's Moira Walsh. Thanks for holding this hearing here today. I live here in St. Cloud. I moved here from Faribault, Minnesota, my hometown. My mom is still in Faribault now. She grew up there. And she is just full of stories about taking the train from Faribault to the cities when she was young. She's 88 now. And there's no train service any longer. Mom still drives, but she's really not interested or able in taking on freeways and heavy traffic. But she is very healthy and wants to get around. And I'll have to say, it's hard to hear that trapped feeling that I can hear so clearly in her voice in the winter when we talk on the phone. So keeping her as an example, I'd just like to remind us all that when we sometimes think of cars as the most convenient and the most freedom that we can get in transportation, that's really neglecting the facts that are faced by the elderly and by anybody who can't afford a road-safe car and can operate it well. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is Ms. Buchwald here? Yes. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Annie Buchwald. I'm a resident of St. Joe. I would wager nobody's more excited to see the entire House Transportation Committee here than myself, but we'll take that up another time. So I am the past organizer of the Finish North Star campaign from 2015 to 2017, and I just want to say I've gotten a lot of compliments on my organizing efforts, including from John Howe, but I want to say every time somebody tells me that, I say, no, you do not know how easy it is to organize people around trains until you do it. Everybody here today is here on their own volition. There is no paid organizer. People like trains in St. Cloud, people like trains across the state. But I also want to go back to 2014 when our organizing first started. Our organizing efforts for Finish North Star came out of our organizing efforts around the need for greater bus service in the area. So we had 60 faith leaders talk with 40 area leaders, public institutions, private institutions, businesses, you name it, nonprofits. Everybody was saying more buses, we need more bus service. I will also add, recently I had coffee with Patty Wetterling of St. Joseph, and she said back when Jacob and I were just babies, they were talking about how they needed greater transit from St. Joe to St. Cloud. So this is not a new issue. This is an issue that needs to be addressed. Thank you for being here. Thank you fully for being here. I'm super excited and jazzed that Representative Wolbegamot has put forth a bill with some money attached, and I hope the legislature moves on it. And then I also just want to say I'm very excited about North Star, but I do recommend to the committee that you connect with folks from all aboard if you haven't already about the need for inner city rail around the state of Minnesota, because it's not just an issue here in St. Cloud. And I should also say, developing, organizing, support across party lines is not difficult. Jeremy Miller, Republican senator from down in Winona, he wants trains down to Winona, so Republicans want it down there. I mean, Fargo or Moorhead, you know, like we want trains around the state, and I really think we should be looking at Amtrak as a negotiating partner to get that done, because that's the business that they're in. All right, so we don't need these modes to compete, so I should also say I'm a resident of St. Joseph. This last year I was both appointed and then elected to the city council. I'm also for the APO, I'm an alternate member. I haven't yet served in that capacity, but I'm excited to do so. So the comments I'm going to make next, I'm not making as necessarily from the council or from the APO, just personally myself. I'm very, very, very encouraged by Governor Wallace's proposal to raise the gas tax. He's got to do that. We need this money across the state. Okay, I've got 30 seconds, so I just want to say I spoke with over half the engineers of counties across the state. We need more gas money. Even though the legislature passed this thing where, you know, local counties can raise their taxes to pay, large agricultural communities cannot raise a sales tax to pay for those roads. They're going back to gravel in some places. I also want to say I think there is appetite for it. We just raised, we just did an assessment in St. Joe to the tune of over $3 million. We're a town of 7,500 almost. And I was very, people told me, watch out for that meeting, the council meeting. People are going to be upset because you're raising taxes. I will have to say we were all very surprised. Residents understood roads are expensive. We need to pay for them. I hope you raise the gas tax so that local cities, as myself, and now I'm relating to the leaders across the state, we all agree raise the gas tax because there's really not a lot of money for local cities to do the business that they need to do. Thank you so much for coming here, and I hope you move boldly forward with transportation solutions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Buckley. Mr. Aaron Bachman and then Ms. Donna Boonstra after that. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Bachman. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Chairman Hornstein and members of the committee. My name is Aaron Bachman. I serve as the Secretary-Treasurer for the Highway 23 Coalition. I'm also the Executive Director for the Candio High County and City of Wilmer Economic Development Commission, where I work with businesses. The Highway 23 Coalition is a public-private partnership with more than 100 members, including 10 counties, that promotes infrastructure improvements throughout the Highway 23 corridor. The coalition has identified and supports four priority projects for 2019. In Benton County, the coalition supports the $2 million construction of a roundabout in the city of Foley at the intersection of Highway 23 and 8th Avenue near the Foley Public School facilities, along with the undertaking of a preferred route safety study on Highway 23 from Foley to Malacca to find the best route for a four-lane road. The four-lane east of St. Cloud ends at Foley right now. It should be noted that during the past 2 years, the most dangerous section in terms of fatalities of the 343 miles of Highway 23 were the 14 miles from Foley to Malacca. They experienced 7 fatalities during that time. That's a horrific loss. In Candio High County, the coalition supports the construction of the Kassaw 55 overpass to connect the new interchange at Highway 23 and County Road 5 in Wilmer. This bridge over the BNSF Railroad would tie into the new $48 million Wilmer Railroad Y project on the west side of Wilmer with a direct connection to the Wilmer Industrial Park. The project promotes safety, mobility, and economic growth. It should be noted that to pay for the $7.8 million project, Candio High County is prepared to contribute 50% of the construction cost. In Chippewa County, the coalition supports the undertaking of an intersection safety study at Highway 23 and State Highway 7 in Clara City to determine safety enhancements. The estimated $100,000 study cost would likely require a 10% local contribution. That's a lot of money for a small town like Clara City. So the coalition is putting its money where its mouth is. The coalition's board approved $5,000 toward the local contribution required by MnDOT. Chippewa County and the city, both members of the coalition, are providing matching funds. It should be noted that over the last 16 months, there have been five serious accidents with injuries on Highway 23 in Chippewa County. Out of those five, four of them were at this intersection. It's a problematic intersection. Finally, in Lyon County, the coalition supports the construction of a four-lane extension of Highway 23 north from the city of Marshall to the city of Green Valley, a distance of 4.5 miles. This project would connect with another four-lane section. It would continue the four-lane infrastructure on the Highway 23 corridor, and it brings it closer to connecting with another important interregional corridor in Minnesota, Highway 212. It should be noted that between I-90 and the city of Wilmer, this Marshall section is the most busy section, excluding the city of Marshall. There's a lot of truck traffic from Schwann's and other companies in the Marshall region that use Highway 23 to get to 212 and the Twin Cities. The coalition respectfully requests that the House Transportation Committee carefully consider and support these important projects on Highway 23 in the bonding bill. They are important for commerce and public safety in greater Minnesota and beyond. Thank you for your time and for holding the hearing in St. Cloud today.
Thank you so much, Mr. Backman. And out of the corner of my eye, I just saw Mr. Hosh. We have another former state legislator here, so I wanted to welcome Mr. Larry Hosh. Sorry I didn't get to you earlier. We're going to continue on with some testimony about Highway 23. Excuse me? Sorry? Oh, Representative Mecklen is here, so thank you for that. We have lots of people. Thank you. So we'll continue on with some more testimony on Highway 23, Ms. Boonstra, and then we have the Benton County Board Chair, Jake Bowerly. Ms. Boonstra, welcome Boonstra. To the committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Donna Boonstra. I serve as the chairwoman of the Highway 23 Coalition's Board of Directors. I also own Custom Interiors and Company, Inc., a small interior design company in the rural Candiai County. I bring my store to your door, and I have customers in Wilmer, St. Cloud, and areas in other areas as well in these communities of this region. Multiple times a week, I am driving the Highway 23 corridor. I know the traffic, and I know the challenges on this road. Let me share some of the statistics with you. In the last year and a half since the Highway 20 Coalition was formally organized, there have been 128 serious accidents and injuries and fatalities, with injuries and fatalities on Highway 23. Of the 128, 36 were in Stearns County, 21 in Candiai, 19 in Benton, 14 in Lyon, 8 in Pine, 7 in Kennebec, 5 in Chippewa, 5 in Mille Lacs, 4 in Yellow Medicine, 3 in Carlton, 3 in Pipestone, 2 in Rock, 1 in Renville. Of these 128 serious accidents, 12 had fatalities. 18 were one vehicle, and 110 were the multi-vehicle accidents. I have personally come upon 5 of those accidents in that amount of time. And it was within minutes of them happening. 3 of those accidents were where it was a left-hand turn in front of other traffic. One was a head-on collision, and one was a one-vehicle load shift. I would like to convey to this committee that the Highway 23 Coalition, with its 10-member counties and 14-member cities, is concerned about public safety and the need to have safe, reliable transportation that is crucial for greater Minnesota. Please look at the transportation system as a whole for safe travel from one highway system to the next. 4 lanes are safer than 2 lanes, and our coalition's goal is a 4-lane highway from I-90 to I-35. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Ms. Boonstra. Mr. Bowerly, followed by Mr. Odens.
Hello.
Welcome to the committee, Commissioner.
Thanks for having us, Chair Hornsman. Also, I enjoyed your imitation of past governors at last week at the...
I'm totally exposed.
You're very good at that. I represent Benton County.
State your name for the record.
Jake Bowerly, current chair of the Benton County Board. I represent Benton County and all the people that are here from Benton County. I grew up on a farm, and it was in a construction business for many, many years, so I know a little bit about construction. But now I'm represent the county and the rural America. Benton County, Mille Lacs County, Kennebec County, Pine County, and Carleton County are all in the lowest tax capacity in the state of Minnesota. They have many miles of road and no way to pay for them. Benton County is talking about passing a sales tax to pay for our roads, and we'll gain about $2 million a year. Our county engineer and I have had some robust dialogue about how that should be spent if we do this. 25% of it would have to be spent on state aid roads if we don't have enough state aid money. 25% we agreed would be used for economic development projects, and 50% for maintaining our system. Benton County has 105 miles of gravel roads, and the counties I just mentioned are all kind of similar position. With low population and lots of miles of road, these roads will be gravel for the next 100 years probably. In the last 20 years, we haven't paved a mile of gravel road. Our county engineer thinks we should spend most of the money on maintaining the old road system, and he's right. I think we should spend it on paving some new roads and economic development. I'm right. There's just not enough money to go around. And we have no tax capacity. We have the wheelage tax we passed. We're going to pass the sales tax, and we're still going to be way short. So I don't know the answer, and that's why you guys make the big bucks. You can figure it out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Board Chair Bowerly. We have Mr. Odens followed by Mr. Sturrock.
Chair, members of the committee, Mel Odens, the Kennewick County Public Works Director and County Engineer. Just a brief history of myself. I've had the fortunate example to be the city engineer in the city of Wilmer as well. We've lived on Highway 23 for the last 20-some years. In your packet with the Highway 23 Coalition, I'm going to speak specifically about an overpass, our County Road 55 overpass over the railroad tracks. You might have heard of the Wilmer Y project. It's a $48 million public-private partnership that is a project which is just north of the said project that I'm talking about. And it's an important economic and economic diversity tool for the Kennewick County and our area. But what it does do is it creates a safety situation, because on the south end of the Wilmer Y, we have to cross now two sets of railroad tracks. And we've just opened up our industrial park in the third tier. And it creates a lot of sharp turns. The inefficiency of movement into and out of the industrial park. So it's my request that you would support projects associated with the Highway 23 Coalition and any projects in the bonding bill. This project is committed and being funded 50% by Kennewick County, and we have, in our county, have invested almost $10 million just in this one square mile area just for this purpose. So thank you, and I'd be open to any questions.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Sturrock, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am David Sturrock, representing the Marshall Area Transportation Group, which is a partnership of public, private, nonprofit, and community interests, active for about 13 years now, with the long-term goal of a four-lane highway connecting the dispersed and underserved regions of our state from Interstate 90 in the Southwest Corridor and up to Interstate 94, and now I'm happy to endorse Interstate 35 as the eastern terminus as well. Mr. Howe, I have a map which illustrates what we talk about. Maybe we can coordinate getting them handed out at the end of the meeting, if that's your preference. Thank you for your help with that. The MATG has been an active supporter, as I'll just reference with the brochure in hand, all three of the highway corridors that radiate sort of roughly from the southwest. Highway 23, of course, our discussion today, US 212, which is our region's connection to the Twin Cities metro area, and US 14. The four projects that Mr. Backman has described that we strongly support, our group is an active member of his Highway 23 coalition. I'll comment briefly on the portion immediately adjoining the city of Marshall, the extension of Highway 23's four-lane capacity northward. That sorts out and helps us manage a variety of very intensive and somewhat conflicting transportation needs. He mentioned the heavy degree of truck traffic that serves the entry to our city's industrial park on the north side. It also is the boundary between our city's our region's high school and the regional event center, big sports exposition center on one side, and Southwest Minnesota State University, where I teach political science, on the other. So there's a lot going on in a fairly short space, very complex, high usage, and this project would, I think, unquestionably helps us juggle and sort out those conflicting needs and demands. And I've mentioned with respect to the other three projects, these all affect us. There's a connectivity. Our group, from its origin, was focused on connectivity, safety, and economic development for the immediate Marshall area through the entire Southwest Minnesota region. And things that you might wonder, someone from Marshall, you know, why would he care about Foley? Because people from our region try 23 for business, pleasure, leisure, folks with boats, cabins, all the rest, they have to go through Foley. And anything that makes that passage safer, quicker, more reliable is of great benefit to our region. So I ask you to think about those things. Mr. Howell, I'll connect with you as soon as we're over. Be happy to take up any questions you may have. And otherwise, I thank you very much for coming to Greater Minnesota. And I also ask you, as you consider Representative O'Driscoll's bill and the bonding bill that's coming, to keep in mind corridors of commerce. That's made possible a lot of the improvements that this brochure you see has enjoyed, including the passing lanes here on Highway 23, which our group was the lead applicant for. So please keep corridors of commerce in mind.
Thank you very much, Mr. Turk. And thanks for the reminder that Highway 23 was one of the first round of grants we did for the corridors.
Very good. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. So I'm just going to let folks know we have about 12 more people on our list, and if folks could keep their testimony really to 2 minutes, then we can leave approximately at the time we had allotted for this hearing. So I want to just remind folks about that time limit, and again, appreciate everybody sticking around. We'll go to Pauline Bratt and then Dennis McGovern after that, if Pauline and Dennis are still here. Pauline Bratt, thank you very much for coming to the hearing today. Please state your name.
Pauline Bratt, a resident of St. Cloud for 60-some years. And I am testifying to ask that the word commuter be removed from the proposal. It has been explained to me that commuter restricts the schedule to those travelers who are commuting to work or to school. I am asking the North Star to accommodate the rest of the population who seek convenient, cost-effective transportation to and from the Twin Cities. On one occasion, I used the North Star to the airport. Worked well for me for a morning flight. When I returned, I arrived at Target Station with my luggage at 2 p.m. on a cold winter day. The Target Station did not open until 4 p.m. When the station opened at 4 for the 4:30 run to Big Lake, the station was unheated and the stairway was the only available seating. On another occasion, I took the North Star to the Minnesota State Fair. Again, the morning run got us to the Fridley Station at an acceptable time to catch the bus to the state fairgrounds. On the return, we needed to leave the fairgrounds in mid-afternoon in order to catch the bus to Fridley and then the North Star to Big Lake. Please remove commuter from the proposal and expand the North Star schedule to make it more available to all riders. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dennis McGovern and then John Palmer following Mr. McGovern. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis McGovern.
I live in southeast St. Cloud and right across the river from the college. The North Star saved my life. Let me explain. For 30 years, I worked in downtown Minneapolis, and I drove 132 miles a day, spent 2.5 hours in the car every day. And when I was younger, it wasn't a big deal. I could handle it. As I got older, the last 5 years of my working career, I was able to ride the North Star. I was sleep deprived. I was a nuisance to public safety. I just couldn't stay awake. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd be dozing in bumper-to-bumper traffic. So I would like to encourage you to support this North Star extension. It saved my life. I want to say something about Dan Wogum out here. He's not old enough to remember this. Some of you older guys probably can remember, but when I bought my first car, interest rates for a car loan were 16%. My first home mortgage was 12%. Money is cheap right now. You can get it for 3 or 4%. I don't know why these guys fight the bonding bills. It's time to spend some money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Mike Hicks is next, followed by Rachel Mellis, and then we'll have Ruth Simpson. I'm going to do three now so everybody can... Oh, Dr. Palmer, sorry, I crossed you out ahead of time, sorry.
That's all right, Chairman. I've been thrown out of this procedure by the City Council, so I'm not used to being treated well. My name is John Palmer. I'm one of the people that pay the bills. I'm not representing anyone other than myself and those that pay the taxes that pay all the bills. I'm going to try to be brief and point out some factual information. And I'm going to start with a bipartisan statement. It's bipartisan because the world has changed a great deal since this gentleman made this statement. His name is Will Rogers. Government is expensive, and the more I pay for it, the less it seems to do. Government is expensive. Its effectiveness is not what any of us would like. Some hard truths. There's a definition of insanity that says insanity is doing the same thing and expecting the same outcome. Commuter rail, thank God, is not as heavily subsidized as light rail. You need to know if you build a capital improvement, you're going to be paying for it for my grandchildren's generation. It's perpetual. Nowhere in the United States is commuter rail supported by the fare box. Nowhere. There are only 5 places in the world that commuter rail is supported by the fare box, and they happen to be in Asia, where the population density is sufficient to generate the necessity for commuter rail. I'm not against trains. I ride trains. They took me to college. They took me to the National Safety Council conventions when I rode the Metro. Metro is 95% paid for by subsidy. The average for commuter rail is 52.9% paid for by the fare box. That means the rest of us are going to be spending in perpetuity 47% of the cost. Now, I also believe in an examination of history. There was a study that was commissioned in about 2012 called the Central Minnesota Area Commuter Study. Its final report concludes, among other things, that it costs too much to run North Star to St. Cloud, and it said rail costs are very high. Freeway express bus service between St. Cloud and Minneapolis may be the most cost-effective. Folks, North Star is already in St. Cloud. 31 cars were parked in the commuter lot on Wednesday of this week. I talked to the state trooper who was doing paperwork there. He verified to me that that's a very typical number that are in that parking lot. And according to the study that was done in 2012, on average per hour, somewhere between 18 and 32 people make that trip. On the high end, the cost of that trip is $52, one way. Please don't make the mistake that people that are insane make, doing something over again and expecting an outcome. What we need is a comprehensive plan that utilizes the best forms of transportation. How many of you rode the bus to this event? A few. 75% of all commuter travel, 75% of all commuter travel is by private passenger automobile. It will remain that way. I'm 70 years old. I heard about it in college, about the demise of the personal passenger automobile. It's not going to disappear. I want a Tesla. I need a Tesla. Then I won't have to pay the gas tax.
Thank you very much, Mr. Palmer. Mr. Hicks, and then Ms. Mellis, and then Ms. Simpson, Ms. Ruth Simpson.
Hello, my name is Michael Hicks, and I'm a resident of St. Paul. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have been studying the history of rail transportation in Minnesota for a bit over 15 years, and I briefly served on the community advisory committee for planning the Zip Rail service down to Rochester. In my opinion, North Star actually has very good existing ridership, but could be greatly improved by being expanded to operate through more hours of the day and by being extended to St. Cloud and replacing the current North Star Link service. North Star's average weekday ridership of 2,800 passengers is crammed into just a few hours of service each day. When it is operating, the train is equivalent to running between 9 and 16 commuter coach buses like the North Star Link bus, or one coach bus departing every 3.5 to 7 minutes. Keep in mind that Metro Transit down at Twin Cities, they tend to max out their bus service at one bus every 10 minutes. So we're already exceeding that level during the times North Star is operating. And when there are special events going on, like the Twins games or Vikings games, the North Star can get fully packed, carrying more than 1,800 passengers in just one train. And that's equivalent to more than one commuter bus every 2 minutes. So to me, that really proves that trains are the best option for public transportation over this distance in this corridor. And I think it would be great to expand it. Furthermore, if you look at weekend ridership in particular and even weekday ridership, Big Lake is the busiest station outside of Minneapolis. It's just matching the level of Elk River on a daily basis, but it's more than twice as busy on weekends. And Elk River is twice as big as Big Lake. So therefore, a lot of people are coming from other parts of central Minnesota and getting on the train in Big Lake. Extending the North Star train to St. Cloud would significantly improve travel times over what people currently do. I think it'll be about 20 to 40 minutes faster than taking the North Star Link bus today. So for these reasons, I support extending North Star to St. Cloud and hope you will allocate appropriate fund for studying and design and construction of this. And I would also encourage a continued, not just a one-time allocation of funds, but continued support for this line and for other future lines in the state.
Thank you very much, and thanks for making the trip up from St. Paul. Ms. Mellis, Ms. Simpson, and then if Ryan Daniel is still here, he'll be next after that. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Rachel Mellis, and I am speaking on behalf of myself and my husband, Rob Galler. We're both working parents in St. Cloud, and we both believe that extending the North Star would be one of the best possible uses of state money. The first reason is environmental, and we think that as a city, state, and species, we could no longer act as if fossil fuels are infinite or as if the burning of what remains would be a good idea for the survival of our species. Our children and grandchildren are going to face the harsh reality that our generation continues to ignore. Reducing Central Minnesota's fossil fuel dependency will enable our children to live here and live. So for reasons of environmental sustainability alone, we wish the state would take the hundreds of millions we have heard we will spend on expanding I-94 to a third lane and use it for this train line instead. And starting with what has been proposed is a good start. Our second reason is economical. We work at St. Cloud State and the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University. Equitable, accessible transportation for students from the Twin Cities could have a big impact on our schools and therefore our community's economic sustainability. We also have many colleagues who commute from the Twin Cities, one of whom spoke before me, because they have a spouse who needs to work in the cities or other reasons. Easing transportation for those who work in the Twin Cities will allow more people to live here, creating greater base of people paying taxes here, sending their kids to school, shopping here, caring about this region, and investing in it. Similarly, those already living in the St. Cloud area and suffering economic instability due to lack of access to private transportation or jobs will have the opportunity to gain that self-sufficiency. And my final reason is on a personal level. I agree with the woman who said I would like it to not be just a commuter train. I think that the riders will come when we build it, and that if we could go to other cultural events than Twin Games, which are great to go to, but we would like more opportunities, that would be lovely. I think that a train to the Twin Cities will make the St. Cloud area a much more attractive place for those who care about our environment, our community, or if nothing else, the well-being of our families. And I thank you so much for listening through this long afternoon of testimony and remembering people like me and the 6,000 people across party lines who signed a petition to this effect of wanting this extension several years ago. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Ms. Simpson, welcome.
Thank you. I brought up one of our township officials, so I'm going to give my time over to him. I just want to say I represent the Minnesota Association of Townships, and transportation is a crucial issue. I know it's been mentioned many times, and we appreciate the support, but we do need a lot of support for our rural roads. We haven't gotten an increase in funding for many years, and we are looking for additional funds, and so we really appreciate Representative O'Driscoll's bill to help do that. And I know there's other bills that are being put forward, and we hope we are able to have hearings on those as well.
So, thank you. Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Doug Fredrickson. I'm St. Joe Township Supervisor. I can only speak about what St. Joe experiences, but I do believe we are fairly typical. And I, too, as a township, we're here to support 780, Driscoll's bill. The opportunity to get funding for those projects that are unique as the state of Minnesota continues to do urban expansion. The surrounding townships like St. Joseph, we have our challenges and traffic demands. As the Stearns County engineer and other engineers have indicated, traffic patterns change, and we simply do not have the funds for those special roads. We will continue our obligation of funding 40% of Minnesota's roads through our little 6x6 postage stamp. Our constituents do a great job at that, but we have special projects. Those special projects, it is great to have a fund. You hold a high bar. We must have good reasons and a broader reason than just our own self-serving, and we respect that in the account, and would like to see it fully funded so that many townships around the state can participate.
Thank you very much. Ryan Daniel, followed by Lori Schultz and Luann Blyler.
Ryan Daniel, CEO, St. Cloud Metrobus. Good afternoon, Chair Horstein and fellow committee members. Metrobus strives to be the transportation mode of choice for St. Cloud and our neighboring communities with fixed route, paratransit, and North Star Link services. With appropriate funding, we can continue to implement new ways of providing transportation, such as our Connects, our new on-demand shared ride service, and bringing North Star to St. Cloud. As stated earlier, I'd like to reiterate, we know that wherever transportation goes, the community grows. I invite you to jump on board, and we can grow our community together. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Daniel. Thank you for your service to the Metro Bus as well. Ms. Schultz, and then Ms. Blyler, and then Mr. Goni.
Good afternoon. I'm Lori Schultz. I'm the executive director of TRICAP. We are a community action agency that is the public transit provider for the five counties, including Benton, Sherburne, Stearns, Morrison, Mille Lacs, and the greater part of Stearns County, specifically the western area. We are similar to Metro Bus in that we provide the public transportation services that are necessary. One of the areas that we can grow and partner in this large discussion today about transit is we offer the types of services that can get people to the train stations. And so that's just a reminder that there are many different partners out there to help this be successful, and we want to be that partner. There are many challenges to transit in greater Minnesota. As you have heard earlier from people, there are many that don't have the opportunity to drive, and so public transportation can be the key to assisting in many areas. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Ms. Blyler, and then Mr. Goni.
Thank you, Commissioners and Representative Hornstein. I'm Luann Blyler from Paul Bunyan Transit. We provide public transportation in the city of Bemidji, Beltrami County. We go up as far as the Lake of the Woods County, Baudette, Roseau, War Road, Greenbush, Badger. We're providing transportation for about 120,000 residents a year. We provide about 40% of our ridership is adults. We do not provide, you know, as everybody says, it's only the people with disabilities and the elderly that ride our buses. A lot of the people that use our service feel that Representative Wallamott talked about the volunteer driver program. We provide transportation for people, a lot of our clients that take our volunteer driver program are people that are going for treatment for opioid addiction, which I think is something that people don't realize. You know, we have to bring our people from our community down here to get their treatments. So the volunteer driver initiative that is looking at giving them the 58 cents instead of the 14 cents would be, you know, very, very well received in our area. And also, I just want to touch base on the budget. While the Minnesota Public Transit Association Governor's Transportation Funding Package shows a reduction in funding for Greater Minnesota. From what I see here, it is $3.7 million. And Greater Minnesota needs our funding for our public transportation, for our facilities, for our buses, to keep drivers' wages where they should be so we can run our bus service. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming all the way from Bemidji. Mr. Goni, and then Ms. Rawlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Dunn, for bringing this on, working hard on this. My name is Mohammed Goni, and I'm a staff organizer at Greater Minnesota Worker Center. On behalf of Greater Minnesota Worker Center, I would like to state that North Star Extension to St. Cloud is much needed now. In fact, it's long, long overdue. But what will North Star mean for St. Cloud? It means increased mobility for workers in St. Cloud area to access opportunities elsewhere. For instance, low-wage workers can access employment opportunities in the cities. Unemployed and underemployed individuals can return to gainful employment because of ease of travel that North Star will enable. Beyond ease of travel and access to jobs, North Star can also open up St. Cloud and make it as a regional cultural hub where cultures and ideas can be shared and transferred. North Star will open up St. Cloud for investments which will create jobs for low-wage workers and other residents. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Goning. Ms. Rawlson, and then we have Commissioner Ben DiNucci.
Thank you. I'm Lori Burleson with the Local Area Agency on Aging, and...
And I'm Laura Sockery with Assumption Community Faith in Action. Assumption Community Faith in Action is a service that provides volunteer drivers right here in Stearns County to help seniors with door-through-door service. We help bring them to doctor's appointments. We pick them up at their door. We go into their apartment if they need it and help them get their coats on. We walk with them on the icy roads and make sure that they are safely transported to their doctor appointments. But we also do more than that. We help seniors going grocery shopping. Maybe they have some sight impairments and can't see those numbers on the price tag and need a volunteer with them for that. We can provide that service. We can provide the service to go with and bring those groceries back home and help them put them away. Our program does a lot for the seniors in our community.
Thank you. So I'm going to just talk about two of the key issues that we're seeing with the volunteer transportation programs, and then I'll give you a sheet that has some of the other ones. But the two key ones I want to address is that nonprofits, volunteer drivers, and insurance companies are often unaware or have misinformation about the regulations surrounding volunteer drivers. We are hearing from providers that we work with quite frequently that when drivers disclose about their volunteer activity with their insurance company, that the insurance company is sometimes terminating their insurance or requiring them that they have to have commercial insurance. They're seeing volunteer drivers as falling under the same category as Lyft and Uber drivers. So one of the things that we provide those providers is a Be Prepared, the Best Way to Stay Safe brochure that was developed by MnDOT, Minnesota Board on Aging, Department of Commerce, that outlines volunteer drivers. This was last updated in 2008. What is often heard from the insurance agents is that it's invalid because of its age. So one of the things that we're asking is for that to be updated and for the document to provide more clarity that volunteer drivers do not fall under the rideshare driver coverage, the same as Lyft and Uber drivers. And we also just suggest then that this updated document get distributed to all licensed agents and automobile insurance carriers in the state. The second thing is that we ask that the volunteer drivers are in need of protection, and we look for the Good Samaritan law to be expanded to include volunteer drivers just as an individual that is a bystander where they stop at the roadside to help somebody. They fall under the Good Samaritans. We'd ask that the volunteer drivers do as well. And for the other issues, I'll give you copies to outline those.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Appreciate it very much. We have Commissioner Ben DiNucci from Itasca County, I believe. Commissioner, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Ben DiNucci. I live on the Iron Range in Nashwauk, Minnesota, where I serve as an Itasca County Commissioner. I'm the Vice Chair. I'm here today to speak in support of the completion of Highway 169, the Cross Range Expressway. And Mr. Chair, I just wanted to note that in my original notes, I compiled several witty stories and even a couple of impressions that you inspired me to work on. But in the interest of time today, I'm just going to get right to the main points.
My impressions seem to be a subject of testimony here.
Senate File 844 and House File 592 requests that upgrading the remaining 8 miles of Cross Range Expressway from 2 lanes to 4 lanes be included in MnDOT's 10-year highway capital investment program until it is completed, and that $15 million be appropriated this session for pre-planning and route confirmation, land acquisition, permitting, and design engineering to make it shovel-ready for construction funding.
Highway 169 is the only major highway connecting communities across the Mesabi Iron Range from Grand Rapids to Virginia for commercial and passenger traffic. The highway was started in the 1950s, was constructed for four-lane traffic, and has been in service for many years. Except this main regional traffic artery still has 8 miles of two-lane highway connecting the major segments of the four-lane highway that after 60 years, have not yet been upgraded to four lanes. There have been two short sections of highway improved in the past 15 years, but there remains 8 miles of two-lane that is narrow, lacks full shoulders, has deteriorated pavement, has numerous hills and tight curves, imposes restrictions and safety hazards for commercial traffic and passenger automobiles. Now, I serve as a first responder, as a volunteer firefighter in my home city. And while I'm not wearing a pager today, we received notifications by cell phone. And while I was sitting in the audience listening to testimony, I received notification of a two-car accident on Highway 169 just a few hours ago. Because land acquisition, permitting, all the functions take time, we ask that permitting and design need to begin now. The Western Mesabi Mine Planning Board and MnDOT have maintained contact about upgrading the remaining 8 miles of two-lane highway, including developing comments on preferred new alignment. In 2018, Itasca County submitted to MnDOT requests for 4 variations of improvement on the 8 miles, none of which were improved. We believe that substantially upgrading the remaining 2 lanes of Cross Range Expressway between the city of Taconite and the town of Pingilly should be given a high priority for $15 million in funding to include pre-planning the remaining 8 miles, land acquisition, permitting, design engineering, and other actions to make it shovel-ready when financing becomes available, and full construction funding of four-lane highway to replace the remaining 8 miles of two-lane cross-range expressway should receive high priority by MnDOT in state bonding or project construction financing plans.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, we, as a representative of the Northern Counties, we would certainly welcome and invite the committee to join us in Itasca County.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. So we're just... our last several testifiers here. We have Ms. Sherry Munyon and Mr. Larry Hansen. I know Ms. Munyon is a familiar face to many of us. We have a panel. Excellent. So please state your names for the record, and again, please keep in mind our time limits.
The time limit, yes. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Larry Hansen, and I'm here representing Egan Companies. Egan Company is a specialty trade contractor, and we employ about 1,000 employees, and many of those work along roadways. Today, I'd like to take the opportunity to talk about work zone safety. Work zone safety is important to everybody, not only the construction workers, but also the general public. And our goal for the proposed enforcement program is to reduce the speed of vehicles in work zones, thus reducing crashes, saving lives, and that's important to everybody. The work zone legislation that was passed in 2014, both Deb and I, if you remember, testified in front of this committee, made definite improvements to work zone safety. But the one thing it hasn't done is reduce speed in the work zones. For over 30 years, I've been safety director at Egan Companies, and I can assure you we do everything possible to provide a safe work zone or workplace for our employees so they can go home at the end of the day. With everything we do, the one thing we can't do is control how the public drives in a work zone. And that's what we're here to ask your help with. October 13th, 2011, it's a day that'll forever stick in my mind. We lost two of our employees that day, Ron Rakowski and Craig Carlson. You'll hear from Deb in a few minutes. Were killed because of a distracted driver on 35W in a work zone. Their death impacted many of our lives. the lives of their families, their friends, and quite honestly, the employees of Egan Companies. And that's why I'm here today to talk. I have to tell you, as I prepared to come before this committee today, and originally I think we were given 4 minutes and cut down to two and now cut down a little bit less, it brought back very painful memories of the days, weeks, and months that followed that incident. We need to provide for a safe workplace for all the construction workers out in the work zones and, quite honestly, the traveling public. And we ask your support today for the proposed bills that we will be making regarding work zone safety. Thank you.
Really appreciate your testimony and your work. Yep. I've been very involved in distracted driving issues over the years, and we can save lives by the kind of legislation
you're
proposing.
And we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Deb Carlson. I'm here today to speak to the need for safer work zones and better protection for Minnesota road workers. My husband was Craig Carlson. He was killed by a distracted driver along I-35W in Burnsville in 2011. He and another worker, Ron Rakowski, had no opportunity to get out of the way and no advance warning that a car going 70 miles per hour was about to hit them from behind while they were working alongside the road. There was no protection or barrier and no reduced speed limits on that day. Our family, including our two children, was forever changed in ways I could never have imagined. In 2014, we made some changes in work zone speed limits, the fines for speeding in work zones statewide. However, those necessary changes have not lessened the increasing dangers for workers on the road, including more distracted drivers and higher road speed limits. On October 3rd of last year, another work zone accident on I-94 took the life of Vern Hedquist and severely injured another worker. Speed and driver inattention were once again to blame. Our group, Citizens for Safe Work Zones, was formed to identify safety improvements and actions necessary to protect those who work on our roads every day. We believe consistent speed enforcement, use of advancing technology, and public education and outreach are critical elements in changing driver and worker awareness and dangers in work zones. Please consider legislation as we are proposing to better enforce work zone speed limits and reduce driver distraction so that other families can welcome their loved ones home safely at the end of the day. Thank you.
Well, and thank you so much, Ms. Carlson, and we're so sorry for your loss, and I think you honor your husband by your presence here. Thank you.
Thank you.
So our last two testifiers are Sherry Munyon and Larry Logeman.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Sherry Munyon, and I'm here today speaking in place of Andy Snopes with the IBEW State Council, who couldn't make it this morning. And I'm also speaking on behalf of the Citizens for Safe Work Zones Coalition, which is comprised of business, labor, and family members who support legislation to speed enforcement, to provide speed enforcement in work zones where men and women are risking their lives. And we want to thank Representative Bernardi and also Senator Howe, who are the chief authors of the legislation that will be before you soon. The legislation provides a pilot project for 2 years for electronic speed enforcement in highway work zones, and this will affect drivers who are going 10 miles over the limit, 10 miles over the speed limit. You may not have expected to see the individuals before you back again after the 2014 law imposing the $300 fine for speeding in work zones. However, there is no coordinated enforcement program of this law. And while in 2014 there were 1,776 crashes in work zones, in 2017 there were 2,361, 555 more accidents than before the $300 fine was imposed. That also included 184 more injuries in work zones, and there were also more deaths than in 2014. While the 2018 statistics are not yet available and won't be until this spring, I have been made aware that 2018 will turn out to be the deadliest year in work zones. So I'll stop there in the interest of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Money, and thank you for your advocacy on this and a number of transportation issues. So we have Mr. Logeman as our last testifier. I didn't see any additional people that had requested to testify. We have one more person you would like to come? Okay, we have one. We'll have Mr. Logeman and then one additional testifier, and then we'll be bringing our hearing to a close. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Logeman.
Thank you. My name is Larry Logeman. I am a local business owner of a passenger transportation company called Executive Express. So first of all, anytime I see elected officials, I want to say thank you for running for office and doing what you do. It is a tough job, and I appreciate what you do. And I also appreciate the fact that I'm one of the last people standing between happy hour and you getting on a bus and going to be driving through a lot of Twin Cities traffic on a Friday afternoon. So enjoy it while you're all in the comfort of a bus. And you're all in the comfort of a vehicle with one driver taking multiple people. Because that's what Executive Express is. We are a company that employs about 100 local Minnesota employees, and we take people to and from the Minneapolis airport 18 times every day. We have over 50 vehicles in our company, and we put on about 4 million miles a year on those vehicles. That's a lot of gas. And now there's a proposed 20-cent tax increase coming. That proposal is out there. So I'm here to say that I would oppose that. As a business owner, I am taxed enough. I don't need any more taxes. But in these sessions, there's going to be discussions going on, and there may be some compromise. So I'm here today to have you think about this, and that is companies like mine. I am a company that gets no government subsidy. So whatever that tax is, it just goes right to the bottom line, and it's going to hurt increased wages for all those 100 employees and what we're trying to do. So I would like you to consider that companies like mine would be exempt from that tax. There has to be a way to do that. Earlier testimony today talked about emissions that are happening. We were a green company before it was even cool to be called a green company. We have over 100,000 passengers a year that we take. That's 100,000 less vehicles on Interstate 94 going to and from the airport. So give us some credit for doing something that is good and figure out a way that we can be exempt from that gas tax. Because what we're trying to do is provide a good service to the communities that we serve in central Minnesota, and that gas tax is just going to hurt that all the more that we can do. Thank you for your time here today. Thank you for coming to St. Cloud so I didn't have to drive through that traffic today. Enjoy your trip back.
Thank you, Mr. Logeman. And then we have, thank you very much. Please state your name for the record. Welcome to the committee, sir.
My name is Steve Simmons, and I live in Minden Township. I thank Senator O'Driscoll for his proposal for us to increase our revenues. That is always a good thing. I also want to say things that the gas tax, in my mind, isn't the only way we can raise revenue for use on roads. If you look at the sales tax that we have, I'm a landscape company, so I have a number of vehicles, and I do repairs on that. And I don't think that anybody would do any repairs if they had their car sitting in the garage. So the repairs are needed because they have driven on our roads. It is because they're just sitting vacantly around. So you look at all the accidents that happen on our roads during a snowstorm. Those people are driving our roads. They're not sitting at home. So the vehicle that has that accident has traveled those roads. So I think that we have to, I'm not opposed with a gas tax increase because it's been quite a while since we have had one. And our township has received about $19,000 in gas tax allocations. But I think you have to be more open-minded. As cars increase their mileage and as hybrids come along, you're going to see a lesser use of that gas and your taxes aren't going to go as far. So I think you have to look at more than one source of increasing our ability to raise money for roads. With that, I'll thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? Okay, you'll be our last testifier today. Welcome to the committee. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your patience. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Beth Schlungen. I'm from St. Cloud here, and I'm just visiting and trying to figure out what's going on. And I had a few questions or comments. With the bill for for you guys, from 2.5 to 2.8, and then there's a dollar amount on...
Which bill are you referring to, ma'am?
The 11779.
Okay.
For the bond sale, and then there's a dollar amount that's not specified. Is this amount determined by the funds that stakeholders and project partners, other sources that you're going to get funds for the bonds from? You come up with that number later?
I'll have Representative Wolgamott answer that, and then we'll have... He'll answer that, and then if you have maybe 1 or 2 minutes of testimony, and then we'll wrap things up.
I got a couple more questions.
Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to clarify, so you're asking what the dollar amount will be appropriate from bond proceeds?
Right.
That number is $6.5 million.
Okay. And then you're going to try to find these stakeholders and where that money is going to come from to pay for those bonds during this study?
So that would be a part of our bonding bill that would happen, would hopefully happen this upcoming biennium.
Okay.
Do you have any additional?
I'm just wondering where the money comes.
Okay. Well,
how the money is appropriate or whatever.
We could have. We're winding down, but this is an important question. If Mr. Lee would want to answer this, because actually I'm glad, ma'am, you raised this because. A lot of the funding we use for transportation is through bonds. We have different kinds of bonds that we use. And so Mr. Lee will very briefly answer that question, and then we'll wrap up.
Mr. Chair and members, the general fund is responsible for paying back all GO obligations. So a general obligation bond is when the state places full faith and credit to pay back creditors for bonding, and so the general fund is what's paying this back. So most of the general fund revenue comes from income tax, but also sales tax and corporate income tax.
So okay. Thank you.
My other question is about what you have right now for, it would be the MnDOT study that you're planning on using, or you know, are there any studies done that show what are the number of the commuters and the dollars that are coming from the current commuters that are coming from. I did see the one from Big Lake has about 346 boardings a day during the week and 177 boardings on weekends. So I found that number.
What we'll do is I'm going to have Representative Wolgamott answer that last question, and then
I'll just say my comment about the whole thing anyway.
Okay. He will answer your question. So, you'll make a brief comment, and then we do need to, we're way over time, and I think at the end of the hearing you might be able to catch a couple of our experts and Representative Wolgamott, and they can answer a few more of your questions. Representative Wolgamott will answer your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the question was just asking if ridership numbers would be included in that study.
And how much money is being done and how much it's costing the state for what's right now and what you plan on doing it for the future, if it's going to be self-funding through the riders or if it's going to fall on taxpayers.
Mr. Chair, yes, the part of that, it's $850,000 in fiscal year 2020 for assessment, analysis, and review of the project. So we will be taking a look at those details and others.
So thank you very much for coming, and you can catch any of us briefly later for your additional questions. So thank you very much, everybody, for sticking around, your patience, your excellent testimony. I have a few comments, but I also wanted to call on our ranking member, Representative Torkelson, to see if he has any closing thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll make this very brief. I know we're past our time. I just want to comment to Mr. Wogelman, you're not standing between me and happy hour, you're standing between me and my snow shovels. So I haven't been home for a week, and my wife's got some piles she wants me to get rid of. So
we can keep the hearing going for you.
No, thank you. I'd rather get there. I also want to thank the City of St. Cloud for providing the facilities here and American Flyer for a fine tour this morning. Number one, I want to remind everyone to be safe. We've had some alarming statistics this year of pedestrian deaths and motor vehicle accidents. We have a lot of snow piled up at intersections, folks. Please, please be careful. Pay attention to what you're doing. Put your phone down and watch the road. We have a Towards Zero Death program here in Minnesota, and it's kind of taken a backward step this year. I want to remind everyone that every time we build another mile of road or another facility for transportation, we're adding to our burden of what we have to take care of, and that is part of our problem today, that we have more to take care of than we can afford. So we want to provide the roads where they're most needed, but if we get carried away, we have more to take care of, and that costs us all more down the road. We've revealed today a lot of tension between different modes of transportation and different regions of the state. This is what we as a committee have to deal with. There's a lot of requests out there, and resources are not unlimited. We also, in transportation, have to compete with every other budget area in the state. And when we don't pass a substantial transportation bill every biennium, we fall behind, and that's what's happened. We did a good job, I think, last year with a substantial bill, but there have been years when we have not passed a substantial transportation bill because we got stuck. We couldn't get past our differences. We need to do substantial work in transportation every year so that we get our piece of the pie, so to speak, when it comes to the state budget. With that, thanks again all for all your testimony, and thanks to my colleagues for spending the afternoon here in St. Cloud.
Thank you so much, Representative Torkelson. And I want to particularly thank our St. Paul delegation that's here today. I was really impressed with the support for Representative O'Driscoll's ideas and Representative Wolgamont's ideas. And for two people that have only served 2 months, really, on this committee, you have tremendous support here and tremendous expertise on transportation issues that we really appreciate so much. So I really want to thank our local St. Cloud members of our committee. We heard so much valuable testimony on the real breadth and depth of transportation issues, not only in our this region here, but in our state. And so we heard people from various highway corridors. We heard about volunteer drivers. We heard a lot about North Star. We heard a pro and con on the gas tax, which will be a major item of discussion moving forward in this committee. Our governor has proposed a very robust transportation program, and it's going to be our job really in the next 6 weeks or so, this committee, to come up with a bill that reflects our priorities for transportation and how we'll pay for it, as Representative Torkelson said. So we meet every Tuesday and Thursday in St. Paul, 12:45 in the afternoon. You're all, of course, welcome to come to our committee meetings. Sometimes they're televised, but we'd like to continue this ongoing engagement that we started today. And I really, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, Central Minnesota is really the center of our state and the center of a lot of very important work that we have to do on transportation. So, again, thank you to all of our St. Cloud local area local elected officials, the City Hall, the mayor, for being so open and welcoming. And have a great weekend and a safe weekend, as Representative Torkelson mentioned. And with that, we will end our hearing. And again, thank you so much for being here. Our unofficial count is 54 testifiers today, so thank you so much for that.